begin. The ANC. The ANC temples upon the rights of journalists. They are pressing us. And they've changed the SEC, I mean the communications chairperson, minister, once again. And they are now insisting we come at certain times. And they're banning us. Now. Now you're suddenly bad, Annika. All right, I don't know what people are doing, but we'll take it this way. So I see, we've got a two nodding with the DA, right? Oh, I should switch. ANC members, as usual, are late. As you know, in terms of our constitution of the ANC, we allow that. Right, can we go on, please? But don't worry, Chairperson, Deputy Chairperson, you're responding to the public, if you can do that, given the sound at the moment, all flickering. I don't know. Tibor, can you help with that regard? You had to contact somebody. Can you see? It's flickering. Which means the members will not be able to use them. Yeah, so, right. So then over to you. It's being recorded, and obviously we give you the full pack. But before we do that, Floyd and Mr. Lisa here and Dikileri, are there any other questions you want to ask? Very quickly, and then we round up in 15 minutes. Are there no more questions? Good. Okay, Mr. Mania. No one asked you, but anyway, fine. Okay, fine. The question is, firstly, he wants to congratulate you on your outstanding work, and he regrets that he asked so many questions. But that he also wants to know where you're going to carry out an investigation anyway into who is responsible for the smear, since your board is now exonerated, as we understand it, through the public domain, your CEO. Thank you. There's a recording that's kept in Parliament's archives, I don't know for how many years, because if something's legally challenged or you misquoted, then we have a literal recording. Because I can tell you the minutes from Parliament's side, with due respect to Parliament, leaves a lot to be desired. In fact, I often use the PMG minutes where you have to question. PMG here. Where's PMG? Yeah, we use them. It's working now, I think. Can we try, sir?
Okay, it is, the color is different. Thank you, Chair. I can confirm that the PSC board has formally closed the process of any allegation investigation against the CEO. However, when dealing with the matter, it was apparent that a lot of the information came via abuse of the IT systems, the PIC, and the management were instructed to fix the holes in terms of security in the IT system, and by sort of implication, we hoped that once they discover how it happened, probably to go back to the source of those emails that came to the board. However, we did not directly instruct or put together a process of finding the origins of the allegations. just because it was mainly IT based, you know, it was mainly based on the IT. Another just detail I think that might interest you is that we also empowered the management that should they find something that is criminal, then it should be taken to the police investigating authorities.
The other outstanding issues that were asked just before we broke for lunch. Is there anything else you want to say, Deputy Chairperson? Okay, can I just summarize quickly what I think a reasonable chairperson would do, and then you tell me whether it's okay or not. One is, we want to know basically, what is this inquiry about that the minister is asking for? Well, if you look at your performance, Tandi put it in a nutshell, that actually by the standards of what happens in this country, she said you're a role model. Now, even if there's some spin, with due respect, you know, I'm not saying you deliberately, like spin means presenting the best lie possible. Lying is something you can't do in Parliament, but you can spin, although the line gets blurred at the outer boundaries between spinning and lying. Even if there's some spin, it's fine, you know, but from what we can tell, you're doing quite good, certainly by the standards of entities in this country. So what's this inquiry all about? The unlisted portfolio now is being released. We discussed that with you last time. So we are puzzled, actually, with due respect, Deputy Chair. And you're not meant to answer this thing. The Chair of the Board must do so. We will, Zakhele and Antonio, help us put the questions to the Board Chair. What, and the Minister, what is this inquiry about? Secondly, it seems the inquiry is about the last 3 years, more or less, from what I can gather. I may be wrong. If that's the case, it's implying that there's something the Minister feels about this board that he is unhappy with, in which case he must answer her. But we, as a committee, we would want to know from the Minister and the Board Chair, what is all this about? You seem to be revealing things in the public domain that you're required to, and where you're not, Parliament and the workers. I see all the workers seem to have fizzled out here. Where's Kosatu? Where's Saptu? Where's solidarity? Oh. This is such a big issue, eh? And you know, we had you on the agenda. Well, I don't know where they are. I hope they're not at the other venue. And they know that all the same. They know it's, okay.
Yes, we are here, Chair.
Oh, you're there. Solidarity, you're there. All right. No, you can sit there, Floyd. There's no rule. It's fine. You can sit wherever you're comfortable. Look, basically, am I right to say this committee... Sorry? No, there's no rule such as that, Floyd. Let's not... That's fine. When they're speaking, they can go on that side. There's no rule that I know of. Can I just raise something? Is it correct that this committee is requiring the minister to give us an explanation, firstly? Secondly, I take it we would like to see the terms of reference. Where are you, Frank Jenkins? Legally, unless there's some legal problem, then they must consult with Parliament's lawyers. We want the terms of reference. What else do we want coming out of this before we part from the PIC? What else is it that's outstanding? So one is the questions, right? We will send you, like we're going to send the GEPF, by next Tuesday questions. Zakhele and Antonia will have the questions ready by noon on Friday. You will add to the questions, we'll send it to them. Two is that we really must ask the board chair and the minister what is it they're wanting to investigate and why. Thirdly, we would like the terms of reference. What else? You wanted to add something, Mr. Mania? Let's summarize it so that I can write a letter to the minister and the board chair on your behalf. I'll send you the text by Friday.
Chair, I think you more or less summarize it. I think that we should also probably request the letter to the minister's letter to the PIC.
Okay.
Which I think would be useful.
Is that agreeable? That we ask the minister. Derek, you must help us on this one because sometimes, you know, okay, but fine, let's have Floyd first.
Yeah, I think let's just ask for context from the minister of what causes the whole forensic investigation, because majority of the times forensic investigations are in response to a prima facie suspicion of a criminal activity happening elsewhere, to say that it looks like there is crime, and can we then conduct forensic investigations so that we're able to take decisions. But also the jumping into that without having spoken to GEPF, which is the owner of the money, in terms of what happens Yeah, to say, like, we understand that the National Treasury is shareholder in the PIC, but if it goes for forensic investigation, the GPF at least should be consulted so that there is some sense of consistency and balance on accountability for that. And this doesn't mean that the PIC should not be held accountable. There should be scrutiny on all the deals and transaction advisors and everything else that are conducted in the PIC. But there must be context on how it is handled. Because
can you just draft a paragraph? Send it to me. I will then send a letter to all of you.
Sure.
But I won't have time before Thursday night. So Friday sometime on the plane on my way, I will do it. So then we send a letter off to the minister. And then we'll attach the question. Why don't we do it on Tuesday next? We attach all the questions to him as well. Just say, these are the questions we're sending. So within a week, a letter will be processed. And you can add to it and amend it the way you want. But there's one more thing that somebody asked that struck me. Oh, yes. There was one more thing as Floyd was speaking that we agreed to that I've forgotten to raise as a summary. Came up in the meeting this morning. I can't remember it. Sanele, Antonio, can you help? Is there anything else you think we should add? There was something else, man, when you were speaking, Floyd. I'm getting so old now. I forgot what I wanted to say. Something you said prompted something that you or somebody else said earlier that I think is also useful. Well, I'll think of it and put it in the thing, and then I'll just put it in green so you know that wasn't discussed here. If you don't want it, it's fine by me. Right, good. Are we done for now? Thank you very much. But you, yeah, yes?
Chair, I don't know if you'll allow me, but I just wanted a final follow-up to my follow-up. And then I just wanted you to confirm, is the chairperson of the GEP going to make her statement later this afternoon?
Yeah, we agree. Well, the choice is hers. We should leave it open. She either does it now, gives it to us in writing, and if she doesn't do it now, she must tell us the process. Maybe she must have a board meeting. Because she can't speak simply on such a big issue without the board maybe having to meet. And if the board's meeting soon, fine. Let her.
So she'll tell us what the process is?
Yeah. What's the problem?
Okay. Then just, I mean, I'm a little taken aback that the deputy chairperson of the board is not more curious about who was behind the smear campaign. The words were that there's no instruction to put together a process to discover the origins of who was behind this.
I regard that. I should have raised that. No, I also, as a chair, should have done that. You see, deputy chairperson, I made it clear, and I want to say this, I was going to say this now as I draw to a conclusion. I really think people should be cautious, especially politicians. I've raised this with my comrades and colleagues here. You see, we have this immunity thing. We can say whatever we like about somebody, especially if you're not here. You don't have a right of recourse. You can't come here. You've got to apply to the speaker. Floyd, you are in the rules committee, my brother. It's not right. I want to discuss this thing with you outside. I have written to Richard to say it's not right. People must have a right of reply. Because we can, I'm not saying you, any member of this house can smear anybody, right? It's even in that house, and the only recourse they have, I checked with Advocate Jenkins. It's a petition process and all. Personally, I've constantly argued against it. So what I want to say is, this is a different situation. I want to plead with members not to Guptafy everybody, really. Gupta has become a swear word, and understandably in the current context. I'm not here to protect the Guptas. But every time we disagree with somebody, or we don't like them, or we think they're doing something, we make it a Guptaite. It's wrong, like this fight, Derek, between workers and populists in the movement, right? You know, if you disagree, he's a populist, or he's a trot. You know, it's meaningless, it's a label, right? It's a trot, he's a trot, she's a trot, usually it's he, he's a workerist, he's a populist, all that. It's all labels, really. This must not prevent us from dealing with people who are linked to that family doing wrong things. Right now, there's a committee, as Floyd points out, meeting elsewhere. So, you know, I want to say, Deputy Chairperson, there is no evidence that any member can summon at this stage to present something contrary to what you're saying. So as far as this committee is concerned for now, you have no links to the Gupta family, you've never had a business interest, and I regret, on behalf of the committee, as a chair now, I have to say this, that people are being smeared, not just you, but others. On the other hand, we must be utterly clear, Deputy Chairperson, everybody here, anybody doing wrong, whoever they are, whatever their station in life, they must face the consequences. And that's no negotiations around that. So I regret that you are subject to that smearing and you have a right to reply. Similarly, David's right to ask, if the CEO has done nothing wrong, he has a right to be cleared completely. Not just by a nominal board meeting that says, we can find no evidence to close the matter.
What about an apology to him from whoever gave you those things? So I really feel, I want to put this to the committee. David, I don't know what's happening to you today, but the way you're behaving, no, very badly, but today he's not so bad. There's very little I can disagree with him, as Tandy yourself said. He's right. Can you tell us why you would not find out who smeared the CEO? 20 years from now, a student will be doing a thesis, right? Putting his name there. It will appear there. And there'll be a small thing somewhere the student might not see it that says he was cleared. So can you answer that question? First, let me ask the committee. Is the committee not of the view that, in fairness to Dan Machila, doctor, we don't have any brief for him. I don't know that guy. I don't know his comrade. I suspect he is, but I don't know. I don't care. The fact is, he's doing a very good job. So what are you doing about finding out who smeared this thing? Secondly, something I don't understand. From what I read in the media, maybe you can disabuse me of my perception here, Dr. Machila was on his way to some conference. What was going to be an ordinary committee meeting got converted into a board meeting. Either he was asked to come back or he chose to, whatever the reason. And with the latter, it's even more, it's sort of good that he came back because he has to risk his integrity. So the question I want to ask is, who converted that committee meeting into a board meeting, what seemed to be overnight? So the David's question and mine. Thank you. Is the committee got any problems with what I'm saying? No. Good. I don't know why Solidarity is nodding their head, because you don't have a say. You'll have a say when you speak, right? But it's fine. You're the public.
Dave, I'm not sure which part of the question I didn't answer. You remember I said it looked as if the closest leads to who was responsible to the smear campaign would have been the people that hacked the system, because clearly there was a hacking into the system. And we thought dealing with that might actually lead us to the perpetrators. And then I said the board did not specifically said we must start another investigation into who were the origins of that of that smear campaign is. In the same way the board has not decided to look who are the perpetrators of the smear campaign against state capture. Because even that is not clear where it comes from. Even the basis of it is not clear.
Okay,
you just repeat the question otherwise, and then I'll come to the other one.
I mean, the PIC board have determined that allegations were made and that those allegations were baseless. Those allegations were based, as you concede, on fake emails making that were distributed within the PIC and through a hacking operation. Somebody is responsible for that. What I find unacceptable and curious is that you are not specifically launching an investigation to find out who that person is. Because whoever that person is, I suspect is possibly, I'm not a criminal lawyer, guilty of a criminal offense. And I would expect the board to pursue those people. Because there's going to be another email.
It's caused a lot of damage.
Well, that is true. That's why we also empowered management to investigate criminality and therefore report this matter to the police around the hacking. It's almost a criminal investigation type of that investigation. I don't think the board would be clear how to go about trying to pursue people who hack computers to send messages. Would you have a suggestion?
Get the best in forensic investigators, conduct a full investigation, and hopefully it would result in some kind of arrest. And why not call in the SAPs, for example, to investigate?
You're not serious about that, but anyway. Well, no, I mean, you're serious, but anyway, it's like, okay, you get my drift, right? Yeah.
We'll convey that to the board. Coming to the other.
Yeah, let me just conclude on that note. Can we write a letter to the minister saying that it's the view of this committee that a full and thorough investigation should be undertaken to establish who it is that either hacked the system or smeared the CEO? Right? Okay. Then
this matter, the chairman, myself, and Dr. Dan met on the day the chairman was going to Tanzania. And Dr. Dan, in that meeting, indicated he was going to the U.S. And we thought, look, it's really no issue for you to go to the U.S. For us to deal with this matter. At that time, we really thought it was a small thing. The chairman had, well, we had both decided maybe we need to take this to the governance committee. And Dr. Dan told us, no, it had started a couple of weeks before because he had had to deal with some journalists about this matter. And then after that, in discussion with the chairman, we thought, look, it looks like this thing might get out of hand. We need to nip it in the bud and finalize it as quickly as possible. Why don't we, instead of doing it in a committee and then the board ratifies the decision, we just do it in one go? And it so happened that there were outstanding other board issues. And to us, before, this is now long before the media is, to us, this was a real minor issue. You know, the CEO was going to write a response, we're going to just read a response and deal with this thing once and for all. As it so happened, this was one of our six other board items for that special board. So there was nothing to it, except that we didn't know we were avoiding a two-stage process just once, and then we thought that was the end of, that would have been the end of this matter at that board meeting. We didn't have to be escalated anywhere else for ratification and approval.
I have a lot of outstanding questions, but I'll leave it. Let's move on. It's not major, given where we've come. The final thing to say is there was a Chris Barron piece in the Business Times where the CEO is supposed to have said something, then the CEO denied he said it. Now, I was going to pose a lot of questions. Why haven't you taken Chris Barron to the press ombudsperson if you were so misrepresented and so on? I think let's move on, okay? The thing, though, is that if anybody cares to, I'm told there's a recording of it that the Sunday Times has put on its website to check the accuracy or otherwise of Chris Barron's piece. I think, shall we leave it at that? But I'm just raising that because that's my job as a chair. Then I think we should observe on the whole that, am I correct to say, Tandy, you want to say something on that matter?
Chair, I want, as a matter of principle, to raise an issue that we need to escalate not only to the PIC, but to any institution of government every time an allegation is made in the public discourse. That if you do not attend to an allegation, you are leaving it to different interpretations. And the whole question of integrity of an institution becomes questionable. We cannot define as to how state-owned entities should respond to matters that are raised in the public discourse. But I take it for granted that sometimes for us to lay these matters to rest, we need to come to the bottom of them. And if a publication of any sort make an allegation, I'm not saying we should run after these issues every time they rise in the media, but some are quite serious allegations, and there are allegations that we might want to follow. And I want to plead with PIC that they might want to say, Chris Brown, can you give us facts? Where do you get this information from? Can you justify your allegations? So that matters are not left hanging and for the public to make their own conclusions. Because, you know, as it stands, the perception is out there.
Fine. I think she doesn't mean Chris Brown, the singer. She's meaning Chris Barron. And the media who's here, please, I cannot comment on Bladin Zimande's removal from cabinet. Can you refer your... I'm getting all these calls, nothing to do with this thing. Right, so... So can the journalists please bring Alex Mashilo and Solly Mapaila, please? I see five requests here for me to comment on Bladin Zimande's removal. I didn't remove him. Ask the president, please. And if the SACP goes, please, Alex Mashilo, and leave me alone. Right, now, can we move on? The one thing I want to say, though, I entirely agree with Floyd, actually. you know, that, you know, I'm a bit surprised. I'm not sure why you didn't, why we didn't put pressure on you. When we advertised for financial sector transformation hearings, the PIC did not appear before us, or the GEPF. I'm not sure why none of us thought about it. But notwithstanding some of the questions members have, on the whole, I agree with Thandi, actually. You're performing reasonably well. Even if I said you're spinning, you're doing very well, actually. And Thandi spoke of you as a role model. I don't think it's an exaggeration, actually. And we told you before, you're getting things right, remember? What is it about you? Never mind the unlisted story. What is it about you that works? Remember we asked that. What is it about you that works? And while you're not a state-owned entity as such, there are lessons that maybe state-owned entities can draw from you. So I just want to congratulate you. On the surface, this is what we see. My words are chosen carefully. From what we can see, you're doing very well. From what we can see, you're about the best. From what we can see, you're a role model. From what we can see, you know, it doesn't seem to us on the surface there's a need for a full forensic, like Floyd said. I agree with everything he said. So we want to wish you well. I know that Parliament's here for you. But more importantly, the workers are here for you. It's they're going to, they have the power, the social power. Never mind me blabbering, yeah? It's they will take to the streets. And I'll join them, right, to the extent that they are correct, right? So really, you must answer to them. We can have our oversight. I know the DA feels more oversight. We agree. But, hey, ultimately, it's the trade unions that must deal with any issues that go wrong. Having said that, thank you, but you're going to be here. Let's move to Kosatu's first, right? Can we get some idea quickly so it manages the time? We're going to finish at 15:50, 17:15 if we have to. Very quickly. I take it Safdu is not here. I'm not sure why. I'm puzzled, actually. I'll SMS Vavi and see if it's still his old number and what's happening. But Kosatu is here. Fedusa is here. Where's Mr. George? Is he gone? Fedusa is not here. No. Then, sorry? Oh, there you are. Oh, I didn't see you. Sorry. Safdu is not here. Naktu, are you here? Oh, Naktu is here. Solidarity, you're here. So apart from Safdu, everybody's here. Okay, thanks. Okay. Over then to Kosatu. Matthew, we're tired of you, but you'll introduce your comrade, right?
Thanks, Chairperson. You'll forgive my IT skills. Just to introduce ourselves quickly. My name is Matthew Parks from Kosatu. My colleague here on my right, my leader rather, is Khumotso Mokopula. She's the Treasurer General of Nahau. And I've also got another comrade, Tengo Tangela from Nahau as well. So Chair, we know you're under time constraints, so we'll try to be brief.
15 minutes, no time constraints.
Oh, no, that is our time constraints. We'll stick to 15 minutes. not exercise our own majority right as a leading federation. So Comrade Khumotso is going to speak first. I think raise a political overview, then I'll just go through our presentation. Chair, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, comrades. Firstly, we want to appreciate the Finance Committee's calling of this urgent meeting and inviting the inputs of unions in particular. The current challenges facing the PIC and playing out in the media are of the deepest concern to Kosatu and its 1.7 million members and their families. It is also a matter of great concern to the 400,000 members or pensioners who are dependent upon the Government Employee Pension Fund. Now, as Kosatu, we view this as a matter of the highest concern and one that needs to be dealt with urgently to protect the hard-earned pensions of workers. So it is an issue that we cannot afford to fail upon. So Kosatu, through its affiliates, which is Yonehau, Satu, Poprutenosa, Samatu, and Pausa, which represent more than 800,000 or two-thirds of the public service, no decision can be allowed to be made about public servants' hard-earned pensions without the involvement and agreement of their unions and federation, which is Kosatu. We further want to say that Kosatu does not have confidence in government's assurance that all is well or that workers' monies are well protected. We are deeply alarmed by the clouds that surrounding the PIC and government's intentions. So as Kosatu, we want to further say we are disappointed to hear Treasury indicated that it cannot guarantee that PIC funds will not be used to bail out state-owned enterprises, in particular SAA. We are also alarmed to hear that SAA has already asked the PIC for a bailout this year and that Denel and the SABC are next. This is the same SAA that is looking for its third bailout in the year. So we are very shocked that other ministers are now looking to the PIC to fund their budgets. So COSAT will not support nor accept these dangerous eyes, and we reject them with contempt. With the limited time that we have, we just want to point out a few things which may sound or look, or we want to say this is a mandate, that COSATU understand the mandate of the PIC, which is firstly to grow government employee pension fund, secondly that these investments are generating healthy above inflation returns for their members and their beneficiaries, to boost and the industrialization and infrastructure development of the nation. Now, as COSATU, we want to make it very clear that to the government that the PIC is not a slush fund. It is not there to balance the budget. It is not there to fund the deficit of the SOEs. Nor it is not a kitty for cash-strapped ministries. So it is not a bailout fund for state-owned enterprises that have been run into the ground by corrupt leaders. We further want to say COSATU and its affiliates will not agree to bail out an SAA where looting is the order of the day. And if there's a problem with an SAA and it has been identified, the ministry must then look at the root cause and look at the management or the managerial structure of the SAA and deal with that without actually getting into the hard cash or hard money of the workers. And once these are done, an SAA and investment where they can yield a return on workers' investments, we want to say that SAA or the Treasury must actually not put their hands into the kitty of the workers, because our call has always been that let the money from the PIC benefit the workers more than anything. We want to say also that there are resolutions which have been signed through PSCBC which currently they are still outstanding and they need to be implemented. And we want to further indicate that one of the thorny issues which we've been raising with Treasury through PIC is that the GEHS, which is the Government Employee Housing Scheme, must be implemented with a matter of urgency, because it is there, it is enshrined in the resolution, and it is not actually taking off the ground, and we cannot then shift the money which is supposed to be benefiting workers and take it to the SAA, which is badly managed and not deal with the root cause. And if this continues, then it will simply mean that we are being provoked as COSATU and will actually do what we are supposed to do in defense of our members. Thank you. I will then hand over to Comrade Matthew.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think just add a few issues to Comrade Khumotso's input. I think without focusing too much on membership numbers, Chair, it is important to say as COSATU we represent two-thirds of public service workers. So decisions can't be made without us. If we take our good comrades and FODUSA combined, we are 90% of the Public Service Bargaining Council. Chair, I think also just to make the point that government is not doing us a favour by having pensions, the UIF, in the PIC. That's workers' money. So workers' deferred wage. I think Comrade Chair will remember the big fight we had about 2 years ago around the retirement annuity. This would even be more voluminous. Chair, I think also workers' patience is running out with government. Workers are being battered by 38% unemployment, massive poverty, and so on. And we see on a daily basis the constant allegations and exposures of corruption at the state level, across the board. So It might be said we are being alarmist when we are very worried about what's the clouds gathering, but we also take comfort, Chair, that no lesser person than the Deputy President of the country is saying there are dangerous eyes looking at the PIC. So we take comfort from the PIC's clean audits and reassurance on our investigations, but again, Chair, we don't think we can be too vigilant on this critical issue, Chair. Chair, I think just to give an example of recent scandals we've seen, what happened to Transnet's pensions, which were touched by the friends of the Guptas, apparently. We've also seen that the private sector pension record is not a proud one either if one looks at Fidentia. And nothing happened to help those workers afterwards, Chair. Chair, I think we are comforted by the PIC's report about the clean audit and so on and the investigations being cleaned. And in principle, we don't oppose government doing a forensic audit. But I think we want to raise...
Sorry, I think that's a vote, eh? Yeah, it's going to be... this is the way you've got 5 minutes, Tandy. You better start going. I'll come behind you. Can we please come back immediately after the vote? Don't look at each other. Let's just come back. These people look at me. If I'm going to the toilet, they will wait. If I'm not here, just stop. Thank you. Voti, I'm sure you prompted this vote. Questions from them while I'm gone, okay? Media, now you shut off there, right? My brother, shut off your camera, please.
Well, you must explain, Chair, that...
Just for the record, I'm teasing. I don't mean that. I mean that about these guys, not the media. Welcome back, everybody. So shall we continue where we left off? Yeah.
Okay.
I have sent Comrade Vavi a note to ask him if he'll please come. We're here, but I can't prescribe to people, right? So I don't know what's happened. Okay. Right.
I think he's around here, Chair. I saw him caucusing with the DA members earlier. But it's a democratic society, Chair.
Got a sense of humor, so it's fine. Can we continue?
Sure. No, thanks, Chair. Chair, look, I think around the PIC forensic audit requested by the Minister, I think our caution is around two points. One is that we've already been downgraded twice to junk status. We're hovering next to close to further downgrades. If we get any more downgraded, foreign investors will be required to pull out. And you mustn't think that the rating agencies, investors are not watching the clouds gathering around the PIC. And of course, if we're downgraded further, our economy is in serious trouble, Chair. I think, Chair, also we would be naive not to note the history of how state organs have been abused by factional battles and are still being abused, Chairperson. I think Comrade Khumotso has already spoken about the mandate from our point to the PIC. I think just to emphasize that on the issue of SAA, Chair, for us, that there's no bailout. We wouldn't support that. Government must do its job. It must clean up SAA. They must overhaul the board. They must remove the chairperson and stop delaying it. There must be a full audit of the SAA's forensics. There needs to be not just a turnaround plan, but its implementation. And I think as all PIC investments require, it must be investment worthy. If you're going to take workers' pension money to SAA, there must be an above-inflation guaranteed return. It can't be charity, Chair. But look, let them sort of SAA when it's financially viable. They can come back like any other organization. But, Chair, I think if we do cross that bridge down the road, the PIC must be represented on the SAA board. It can't be a blank check. I think, Chair, we're making this point around the SOEs because we don't want to see them collapse. We think the SOEs have a vital role to play in the economy, to spur economic growth, provide a public good, create jobs, etc. So we don't also want to see them collapse. Chair, I think some of our proposals for the committee going forward to look at, and I think we appreciate Honourable Shivambu, the Chief Whip of the EFF's proposal to mandate and to require the Minister to have union representation on the PIC board. And as a simple formula, you have the Public Service Collective Bargaining Council. You simply ask them to deploy proportionally representatives. So it's not a question of which party, which friend, or the Minister's good mood, etc. Chair, I think we also want to see further strengthening that when there's a mandate change or significant large investments at the PIC, they mustn't just report after the fact to the GPF, it must come beforehand to get a mandate from the GPF. After all, the PIC belongs to the GPF as the largest shareholder. I think, Chair, we'd also welcome discussion in the committee around an expanded parliamentary role for Parliament in terms of selecting the chairperson and also looking at the non-union PIC board reps. And of course, Chair, I think we would welcome that any mandate changes be given or taken to Parliament first, the annual reports must be brought to Parliament, etc. I don't think we can have too much transparency, Chairperson, given this is two trillion rand investments of workers' money. I think coming to the end, Chair, look, we are good friends, good comrades with FIDUSA. We know they made this proposal, and we understand why, about taking the GPF out of the PIC. I think, let us say, as COSATU, we would not support that. Chair, look, for us, number one, is that the PIC must return a healthy above-inflation investment returns for workers' pensions. For the UF Compensation Fund, they've done that. We're pleased with that. But also, Chair, the PIC has got a critical economic and developmental role to play in society. If you give this money to a private company, they're not going to do that. And I think, Chair, as much as we are struggling with state-owned entities, corruption can be even worse if you take this thing straight to the private sector, Chair. I think, again, one needs to look no further than Fidentia and other pension funds. At least the GPF and PIC, you've got laws governing it. You can call them to Parliament.
You start rounding up.
Sure. Chair, I think also lastly that part of the NEDLAC social security discussions is about consolidating social security to try to minimize corruption, reduce admin charges, bring better returns. So I think lastly, Chair, just to summarize, we have faith in the GPF and PIC, but it's still we cannot be naive to ignore the dark clouds of corruption and the rampant corruption in the state. I think, Chair, it is unfortunate that cabinet is not here or the executive is not here, we are speaking to the converted largely or the uncaptured. Because we would really want to give the warning to cabinet, they must not provoke workers. If they want to see a full-scale public sector strike and affect industrial workers too, because there's also UAF, they must start tampering with the PIC chair. We have no space for friendship or comradeship, Chair. This is workers' monies, and we're not dependent upon goodwill from government. Chair, we are available to assist the committee in this important work, and we do really appreciate it, and we welcome the interventions by committee. And I think lastly, Chair, you showed a very keen interest in Mongolia, and about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Mongolian Parliament... there's a very important point, Comrade Tandy. Chair, Mongolia is ruled by a former Communist Party, the People's Party. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, they removed the Prime Minister because of allegations of corruption. They put a new Prime Minister in. And it was not a long, drawn-out affair. It was leadership, Chair, so it was quite an interesting thing, Chair. So... well, Kusat has already made his position very clear long ago. So, thanks very much, Chair, and we appreciate giving this space to Kusat's membership, 1.7 million private and public sector, but also, I think, Chair, the 400,000 pensioners who depend upon the GPF and PIC and for whom this is a matter of life and death, Chairperson. Thanks.
I'm sorry we've forced it into 15 minutes, right, but please understand this is part of a two-part process. We wanted to hear all the unions. Next is Fedusa. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Tibor, please help here. IT stuff. He can't get the connection. But we have got, in the meanwhile, Comrade George, we have got the written, the text. So we can move with that. Okay, there it is, right. Can we get going, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we're going to focus a lot on the other issues because we wanted to bring and to exchange the mandate of the PIC in a much more broader way than just following a narrow approach to give us a better outcome for the economy and how it can support the broader agenda of the social transformation and so forth. This was the words quoted by President Nelson Mandela in terms of state capture, to say it's much more than corruption. He says that our experience has made us acutely aware of the possible danger of a government that is neither transparent or accountable. And to this end, our constitution contains several mechanisms to ensure that government will not be part of a problem. Nelson Mandela, 1996. But you can look at that the diagram, dear Chairperson. You know, so if you look from the other side, you cannot see nothing. But in the meantime, there's some interesting things happening behind the scenes that we can't see. Chairperson, we said to you we want to look at a different approach. And we look at this approach from what Bloomberg was saying in terms of the exposure of the PIC, in terms of the bonds, specifically looking at the state-owned companies. We're mindful of the fact that the mandate is broader, but we want to focus on the danger. And we're saying that currently the PIC have 78 billion rand in bonds out of a total of 139,000 bonds. It gives them an exposure of 56%. In Transnet, it's 27 billion out of 43 billion. It gives you 63 billion. and Sanral is 14 billion out of 30 billion. So, what happened if SAA should default on loans and it become payable? That means that the guarantees will be triggered. And when the guarantees is triggered, the cross-default clauses of other state-owned companies could trigger a cascade of defaults. That would be a serious challenge for this government. What we are saying, the guarantees can be called from government for the state-owned enterprises, resulting in stretched balance sheets, driving up public debt levels, and instant more downgrades from rating agencies. So, Chair, person has to look at public servants' fear that the PIC would be used for bailout of state-owned companies. Now, members are worried about what is going on at the G Government Employee Pension Fund and the PIC. Mistrust, state capture, looting, maladministration, corruption are the words that rings in their ears every day, and they hear it on television. We saw a number of reports, and we're quoting two of the reports. The betrayal of the promise, how South Africa has been stolen, an academic state capacity research project, and then the South African Council of Churches, also with their report. I will quote some of the stuff in the report. The appointment of Minister Malusi as the Minister of Public Enterprises started the systematic process in government. The minister, when he was appointed on the 1st of November, had also taken the steps to repurchasing of state-owned enterprises throughout its tenure. Until 2014, as the public enterprises minister was engaged with the restructuring of boards. So this is where all these things started to happen. For example, December 2010, the points the Department of Trade and Industry official, Mr. Iqbal Sharma, to the Transnet Board. 2010, New Age reported in advance that Brian Bolefi will become Transnet CEO. And February 2011, Brian Molefe was appointed. Take it a little bit further, Chairperson, in June 2011, announced of wholesale changes, and there you can see Eskom board. This is where these things started to fall into place. I wrote the article, it was published in Finweek, if colleagues wants to see more detail on that. Transnet appointments, tries to Iqbal, chairperson, but cabinet veto it based on the proximity to the Gupta family. Transnet then created the Board of Acquisitions and Disposable Committee. So what happens, Chair? The minute when you stop this process in one way, they find another way. I think it's the same can be said about the strategies of the PIC. And that's the reason why organized labor came out very, very strongly against this process. In July 2012, Agnew Singh became Transnet Chief Financial Officer. Molefe and Singh signed off on some of the most controversial Gupta Transnet contracts, including work directed to a trillion. What does the public servants demand? From our side, Chairperson, we demand worker directors on the PIC, but also worker directors on the boards of the SOEs. To strengthen governance and leadership, these approaches and processes must be done through Netlink. Fedusa say no to selling of shares in Telkom, because Telkom is at least a revenue stream for government. If you sell it, then you're going to lose that revenue stream. We say the removal of the South African Airways chairperson, and no more interference from government in state-owned enterprises. What we argue is we say that the board of a state-owned company must be the final person that make a decision. And I think it is important that we must also bring private sector involvement in the process. My colleague from the PSA was also going to add a couple of points to it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It is indeed important to emphasize that we don't want to be alarmists. Majority of the things that have been said in the media is things that we cannot prove. But the threat is there, that we've got legitimate fears. And these fears are based on the systematic manner in which credible institutions are crumbling because of interference from elsewhere. And as the FEDUSA PSA being the largest affiliate of FEDUSA, we're saying that we have a responsibility towards our constituencies and our members. And for us to be assured that indeed the investments of our members are well taken care of, it is going to be critical that the people who sit in PIC board are people with interest. Majority of the board members of PIC have no interest, none whatsoever, into the real depositors. We are the ones who are carrying the mandate of the depositors. It is going to be important that at least 50% of the representation at PIC are coming from labor side. This will bring about comfort in terms of our members' expectation. We also want a situation where both institutions, we have total, and we fully agree with COSAT, we have total support, and we also have total confidence in both GEPF and PIC. We do. However, we are not oblivious of realities, and we are not going to wait for a disaster to strike for us to act. We want to be proactive in making sure that if there's money that whoever is interested in is not good, they are not going to get, is the member, is the money of our members. We therefore say that, and I must acknowledge that the only institution that really comes to the party every time we raise concern is GPF. They respond to our correspondence, they give us the assurances, all that, but they are not the problem. Our money is held somewhere, run by a board that is appointed by the minister, who doesn't consult, who doesn't take consideration of all these issues that we have raised. And that is why it's going to be important. If we have nothing to worry about, there's no reason why labor should not be included to be part of the PIC board or any other board where PIC has a stake and they've got the majority stake in those institutions.
Chairperson, this is the final point. Chairperson, there's been a request for a transformation in the economy. And I think it is important that the workers contribute towards the economy. For instance, to give an example, people were talking about the monopolies in the economy. So why can't we put specific conditions when the PIC is going to, for instance, and companies that has listed, put special conditions, and those are the kinds of innovation that the workers want to bring to the table. For instance, in cases of monopolies, in cases of collusion, price fixing, in cases of anti-competitive behavior, because those companies are fined by one state-owned enterprises, and it's important that we can use the PIC for that. We also want to talk about the issue of forensic audit investigations and so forth. I think these investigations must not be to weaken the current situation, but it must be used to strengthen the particular process. And then the final issue was, and we've got some questions that we wanted to ask, if that is the place and we're going to get a second bite at the cherry, maybe we must wait till that time, till we open up for the general debate. Thank you, Chair.
I think, no, Reese, you see, the thing is, we don't just want you to speak to the issues you've raised in the public domain. You might want to respond to specific things you've heard today. And so you've got up to another 5 minutes. If you want to use that time, use it now. So we expedite the process. We want you also, can I urge the others who come, not just to say what you've said already, but respond to what you heard this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. On the issue of forensic investigation that the Minister, for instance, is wanting the PIC to undertake, one of our major concerns is that something must prompt a forensic investigation. The question that we are sitting with, what has happened for him to want this particular forensic investigation? But our view, from when we look at the manner in which things have been staggering, it seems as if, and this is our view, it may be baseless, but it is still our view, that the issue here is to get to Dr. Dan Machile. There's no other thing. They've tried a couple of things to pin on him, and nothing has been pinned on him, and this they are hoping to get. Now, the question is that whose money is it going to be used for this forensic investigation? So until we understand the rationale behind this forensic investigation, there's no way that you can support an investigation based on nothing. That's one. The other issue, Chairperson, is the fact that we also want to understand, because we've been told from certain sources that some of the board members have applied in the past to be funded through PIC and their funding was rejected. Is it true? And who are those individuals? The other issue is that was raised by EFF and the other political parties, the issue of unlisted investments. That is also key, because that's where the channeling usually of corrupt activities will happen. So those checks and balances for us are quite critical and are quite important. But the issue of forensic investigation, until such a time there's a case why there must be, we don't believe that the forensic investigation should proceed.
Chairperson, we've looked at the annual report, and it was mentioned this morning in the presentation from the PIC. Now, the PIC have identified certain indicators as risks. One of those indicators, for instance, is fraud. It's mentioned as a risk and they pull it right through. But we think specifically issues like collusion, price fixing, and those kind of behaviors, corruption, you know, must also be taken into consider as a risk, because to motivate the point, if a company is fined by the Competition Commission 10% of turnover, I mean, why doesn't the PIC look at those things? I mean, that is critical. We're looking to transform our economy. We've done some research as FEDUSA, and we've looked at the model of Germany of co-determination. I think the issue of worker directors should be extended, and this is a model for creating and achieving higher inclusive growth, is to include worker directors also to companies from the stock exchange and other investors. And I saw in the report that they have also, after they had the problem, they saw, for instance, I'm getting now interrupted here by my comrade, but I'm going to continue. So we can share the research with you. Just to give an example, Bloomberg have done a study in companies that's listed in Europe. What they discovered is that companies with worker directors have achieved 30% more than the benchmark for the market. So what does that tell us? Because you see, if you're going to try to legislate, they're going to turn around and say, no, the government and the workers try to control. But if they come to want us to take a stake in their company, then we can tell them, look, these are the conditions, you see? And so therefore, it's a much more easier way to get into the process to make black people, women, and people with disabilities to be part of the bigger economy and to have a say in the particular process. There was also one area, Chairperson, that we saw a dividend was paid to Treasury. Now, the way that we understand, dividends are paid to investors. And I think that money should have gone most probably back to the government employee pension fund, because Treasury never put money into the PIC. The other issue, Chairperson, that we want to say, and my colleague is going to speak because, you know, we didn't caucus this.
Yeah, basically, Chairperson, what we are saying is that whilst these things are unfolding, we know that some of the board members' term of office is coming to an end. And we are saying those positions...
15 minutes, but we'll allow a bit of latitude. Okay. Right.
So what we are saying is that those positions, and it's within the powers of the minister to do that, should be given to the labor representative, because there is an opportunity or a window of opportunity to address that now. You don't have to wait for the next cycle of the AGM. Thanks.
Comrade Fabi. Have you got a presentation you're going to put on the screen?
No, we
sit. Oh, then you can sit there then.
We can speak, yeah. We can
that's fine. And you can give it to us in the next 24 hours if you can. Yeah. Okay. Shall we go for it? Thanks.
We have 15 minutes, Chair.
Yeah.
Flexible.
Yeah. 16, 17. Maximum 17.
Thank you very much. Firstly, thank you very much for inviting
me. Jay Naidu is still speaking for COSATU or SAFTU, I'm not clear, but that can be taken into account, right?
You won't believe that up to this moment, I still, from time to time, refer SAFTU as COSATU. After 30 years,
SMS to your old email assistant.
You can't blame me.
Okay. I sent an SMS to your old number and it came back to say not transferred. So I see that you changed your phone number. All right, fine. That's right. You know more because that's a GS, right? Okay. Oh, enough from me. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I was saying thank you very much to the members of the committee for inviting us and offering us the opportunity to speak to this very important matter to every worker who have spent many, many years of their lives in building their pensions. So we're not going to speak to the technical issues that are covered in our our presentation about the composition of the 1.8 trillion rands that is being or that is in the hands of the PIC. The PIC presentation itself covered that in some great length, so we're not going to speak about it. We'll speak to the issues of concern and the issues of today. The first one is something that has been referred to throughout the day and the morning in particular. The fact that we've learned, and there seems to be a confirmation that there is a queue that is developing to borrow money from the PIC in order to bail out state-owned enterprises, which have been bankrupted through mismanagement and corruption. And we agree with our colleagues in both COSATU, FEDUSA, the PSA, and many other unions who have spoken in public on this issue, that we just cannot agree. Not because investing in the state-owned enterprises on its own is an issue that we have a principal disagreement with, but in this particular instance, the state-owned enterprises have been bankrupted through what we refer to a systematic program to take over every institution that can be used to leverage money for personal gain of those driving the program that will deliver our country into a kleptocratic capitalist order or a predatory state. And that's why we're opposed to it. And so we're not flexible about what, and we do set a condition later as to what the only possibility that we can say yes to that is under certain conditions that we're going to speak about a little bit later. That's the first thing that we wanted to say. Secondly, this is not some, we heard the CEO referring to some persons who are giving them the mandate. This is the workers' money. And every time we should speak about the people who give a mandate, we should be talking about the workers who own this money altogether. This is their contribution, this is their life, and no one else must have any mandate of giving any person any kind of an instruction to do anything except the people who own the money. Full stop. And to us, that's another very, very important fundamental departure point. And we're saying that to use the money for a reported 12 billion bailout of SAA will be bad enough. But it is reported that after bailing out SAA, the government will be looking for more cash for similar bailouts for Eskom, Petro SA, Dinel, which have been at the center of allegations of corruption and mismanagement by the network of looters around the Gupta family. They are exactly the sort of dodgy investment which the PIC mandate to invest responsibly ought to exclude. SAFTU is also particularly concerned that the PIC chairperson is Fiso Buthelezi, who is also the Deputy Minister of Finance, who has been accused of being a beneficiary of companies that illegally secured contracts worth at least 150 million rands from the Passenger Rail Agency, or PRASA, and some of its suppliers whilst he was there. And some of those money we told, at least we now know, that were diverted to his own brother. Such massive bailouts will put the PIC itself at the danger of becoming bankrupt, because the government employee pension fund is a defined benefit or pension fund which is legally obliged to pay, and government is legally obliged to pay any kind of shortfalls later. If money is going to be taken out of the employee pension funds, what will then follow down the line is that the government is going to be forced to do either of the two things. One, it will have to raise the taxes, and we have heard over and over in the recent period since 2008, after we were hit by the world recession, that government is looking at all times at raising the VAT, something that we will object to, which we will oppose, which we'll go into the streets for, because we know that the people who will be impacted more negatively about that move will be poor, will be the working class. The other option for government is to disregard its own obligations to its people, meaning that it will have to take money away from essential services that it must provide, including a delayed implementation of such programs such as the National Health Insurance. And therefore, any bailout will consequently impact directly not only on the government employees, but also on the broader public in society. And that's why we think that we must broaden the approach and not just look at how this will impact on the GEPF. Now, such a move, therefore, as let me emphasize, will be an assault on the living standards. Not just of workers, but also of the people as a whole. And it will further delay the implementation or the realization of this slogan, a better life for all. We don't want to labor the point. We have raised this in public, and we agree with Cosatu on this one. We think that the FEDUSA's proposition that they want to withdraw and or to make a proposition that the pension must be privatized and given over to the private hands will not help their own cause, just like it will not help our cause as a society as a whole. We insist that the PIC as a principle is a proper vehicle to invest the money, as long as it is not going to be used as a cash cow for the desperate looters to look to in order to make quick bucks for themselves and their families. We insist that the board of the PIC must be democratized, and there must be more measures of accountability. There must be more definite steps that must be taken to make sure that it is more transparent in its decision making. In particular, on how the money is used, how it is invested, and who benefits from such investments in class terms. We extend the same call to cover the entire state-owned enterprises, and we agree with FEDUSA there altogether, that it should not only, the issue of ensuring worker representation must not be limited to the PIC. The entire family of state-owned enterprises must be covered by the same rules. Workers have a direct interest in ensuring that all of the state-owned enterprises survive, in particular in the wake of this very aggressive looting program that we have seen over the recent period. We have another concern. We are concerned that the person who is writing the letter is Minister of Finance Malusi Gigaba, and his deputy is Sifiso Buthelezi. and who is acting as the chairperson. And we are very happy that the issue of the chairpersonship of the PIC is coming up for discussion, and we will urge you to take that discussion to its proper conclusion. That is now the chairperson without any skills, without any experience, just on the basis that is the deputy chairperson, is something that we believe you as the committee must evaluate as to whether it is something that we really need. A political appointee by nature will always carry a huge weight in a board. The PIC CEO will never know who exactly they are accounting to. If they have, we heard that there was a deputy chairperson speaking in the morning, and there's a chairperson who can always wield the axe, such as we believe that an axe is now being wielded by the Minister of Finance to embark on investigations. And we agree and we question the reasons behind these investigations. Why all of a sudden there must be investigation? We believe that this is a fishing expedition on the part of the minister, clearly wanting to appear to be acting on the best interest of society and this pension, the pensioners, but we fear that he may have the same agenda that he persecuted so well when he was the Minister of Public Enterprises. Because if history was to be written again in South Africa about the state capture, Malusi Gigaba will appear in the top five as one of the most devastating strikers on behalf of the Gupta families in relation to the capture of the state enterprises. He got the ball rolling. He removed all of professional experience, personnel in PRASA, Transnet, Eskom, DNEL, everywhere, in order to replace them with the Gupta family appointees. He is a typical blue-eyed boy of the off-sexing world. Now, there we go. He now find a reason to investigate when there has been an investigation on the same issues before. And our conclusion is the same as that of FEDUSA, is that this investigation, in inverted commas, is not just an fishing expedition, but he is trying to find a reason to suspend the current CEO in order to find another blue-eyed boy from sexy world to manage the PIC, as he has done over and over in other state-owned enterprises. Now, we're not defending anybody who may be caught up in any kind of corruption. Of course, we want to know who have been getting what money from the PIC over the past 7 years. We're quite interested. And if the PIC CEO would have found himself in the wrong side of the law in that process, he will have to fall on his own sweat. We're not here to defend anybody. But we are absolutely nervous about the intention of this forensic audit that have been...
Ravi, you're at, really you're at 14 and a half minutes, right?
So, yeah. I have three now. You said 17 or so.
Okay.
So let me be selective in terms of what I raise now.
Written text as well.
We
okay.
do,
yeah.
we do, we do. The other thing that we want you to we want and we make a call on the committee to explore is that the owners of these funds are homeless in the majority of the cases. We are asking you to investigate as to whether there can be no fund within this fund dedicated in ensuring that it can lend money to public servants who are too rich to be catered in by the RDP and who are too poor to be catered by the commercial banks. They have a 1.8 trillion rands, the biggest fund And yet only 5% of the public servants in this country own their own houses. We think that you need to explore that issue. Instead of allowing this money to be used in the political games to enrich certain individuals, why don't we explore a fund that can, within the rules of the PIC in terms of not jeopardizing the chance of gaining some money and therefore making a living for pensioners down their lives, look at whether we cannot have a specialized fund. I heard the chairperson, by the way, when he was responding to the EF question. Why don't you look at this, honorable members? Introduce a blanket rule applicable not only to the PIC, but to every state enterprises, cabinet ministers, the president included. No one must be allowed to borrow money or to have businesses where there are political leadership of the same institutions. That's a conflict of interest. Introduce something about the conflict of interest to cover number one and his entire family, cabinet, chairpersons, members of the boards. Don't conflict them. A person who agrees to make a contribution in society through managing the workers' pensions mustn't turn around and be the beneficiaries in the activities of the same company. That is very important that you should look at it as well. We're nervous about the trail that the Minister of Public Enterprises then and now the Minister of Finance have left behind. And we have put up some examples of what have been referred to as the state capture in the country, which we wish that you could look at in the detail of the presentation. Please give us some assurances.
Yeah,
that's my last
really,
one.
You're at 17 minutes, 41 seconds now.
Give us some assurances. Yeah. We want to sleep at night. That our monies cannot be used by any J-call, any hyena, for the benefit, instead of benefiting ordinary people.
Yeah, good, thank you. Okay, solidarity.
Thank you,
prove
Chair.
You better, right, and finish in 15 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Just as a comment, I see the batteries running low here on this computer, so if it does go out, I'll go from the printed version.
Yes, yeah. Well, the secretary will help, yeah.
Thank you. My name is Johan Creer. I'm the deputy.
Where's Beauty, the new assistant secretary? Is she here? Okay, I'll introduce you to the committee later. Beauty, she's not here to assist you. Okay, doesn't matter. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm Johan Creer. I'm the deputy general secretary of Solidarity. Firstly, thank you very much for the invitation. Obviously, as a minority trade union, we do not boast some of the figures that we've heard of.
Can I welcome the people in the parliamentary gallery? This is your parliament. Welcome. I hope you have I think some of your students, it seems to me. We're looking, if you haven't gathered already, at the trade unions are speaking on their pension funds and the use of it and so on. Welcome.
Thank you. So, of course, the issues on the table is not a minority issues only, so therefore the importance, of course, is just as important to our members. Some of the issues that we raise, of course, resonate with with what has been said now, up till now, by some of the previous speakers, and in as far as it does, I'll try to skip over. So basically just also resonating with what the EFF has said earlier today, I think that we, as a positive, can say that that the manner in which the fund has been managed has been exceptional. It's been a good rate of return. There's been a clear, detailed, enforceable mandate. There's strict investment policy statements that's been accessible. So overarching, there's been checks and balances between the GEPF and the PIC. And also legal protection from political interference. So as a start, I think it's the positives must be mentioned. So it's not all critique from our side. Of course, the negatives resonate with what has been said. The unlisted or the fringe investments and the investments in the state-owned enterprises that has been failing or that have been plagued by corruption and so forth, and bad performance as a whole, and management and so forth, have yielded low levels of returns. So that's a big negative. One that we specifically flag is Easy Buyer Investment Fund, and the conflict between the development goals of investing in the fund, and of course the sustainability and the conservation of the funds inside the fund. Another negative is from our side, which we view very seriously, is the lack of transparency on certain issues, which we have raised in correspondence and during personal meetings with both the GEPF and the PIC. And then, of course, the ever-present threat of state capture, which has been elaborated on at length this morning, which we repeat, cannot be tolerated. From our side, there's also been the need for litigation, which we view as a negative, in the sense that we've been forced to litigate on some certain issues which couldn't have been resolved, through meeting up and so forth. But that's a negative from our side. Moving on to specific concerns, and I think this is where the nub of our contribution lie, is that we've seen the need against the background of the report that's been mentioned earlier, the portrayal of the promise how South Africa is being stolen, that forming a basis for an application in terms of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. We've at length elaborated on what we need in terms of information from both the GPF and the PIC, and we've not had a response in the sense that the information that we request have been provided, and we see that failure as sad. To this day, there's been no response, and we will be following the internal appeal process in terms of PIA, and eventually, if forced, we will have to go to court, approach the High Court for an order to get access to the information that we seek, and hopefully we don't need to go that route. And I think this is also, again... we seek information relating to the state capture, specific investments, conflict, insofar as we could possibly flag them between the GPF and the PIC mandate, documentation regarding risk analysis and the like that were to be taken before certain investments were made. So we could provide the committee with the specifics there. We think it's relevant. It's not only a question of asking, for the sake of asking, but really to be able to determine whether the investments were sound and whether the fears regarding state capture are real, so that we can also assuage the fears of our members. Hopefully we can. We can engage afterwards again before we have to go to court. I've noted the unwillingness, as we interpret it, is a cause for concern. From our point of view, this whole intransigence or the opacity of the dealings of the PIC, of course we appreciate that not everything is open for scrutiny. Certain investment strategies and the like are of course secret, so to say, but in the sense that information is relevant, I think we should have access to that, and we've seen amongst our members and otherwise the public that the fact that it's not provided really fuels rumors and speculation, and that's something that we must address. Answers, really frank answers, are the only way to start doing that. I think Mr. Vavi has also noted, the fact that that the GPF benefits South Africa. So the fund cannot, and we of course reiterate that position, be used to bail out failing SOEs. It cannot be used as capital for risky projects. For example, there were also talks about funding nuclear energy and the like from this SIA is topical. Because if we start losing and plundering the GPF, the ripple effect would be catastrophic for South Africa. And the very noble aims that we've seen that the GPF and the PIC seeks to achieve by some of the projects that have been reported on this morning. So really what we, in fact, I think that, like I've said, and if you ask me for a nub of what we request is really start by giving us the information that we requested, so that we can determine for ourselves and also via consultants if needed, if there is cause for concern, so that we can contact or communicate with our members. I think continuous interaction is important. While we're not sitting on the PSCVC, we have seen that with some of the litigation that we're involved in, the basis for that was simply because there was no consultation even with the unions on the PSCVC. So we also have to fulfill that watchdog role, and continuous interaction is important also with the pension groups that we work with, for example, the GEPF monitoring group. Yes, and yeah, I think it's in our all of our interests, and certainly those of our members in the public sector, that the success of the fund is maintained, and this is a good starting point. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Yes. Thanks very much.
Thank
okay. Snap two.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. On behalf of NACTU, we are in agreement with all the issues that was raised by the rest of Labour. It's interesting to us now in terms of the PIC report that the unemployment insurance fund are growing with a big amount of percentage. According to the document, it's CPI plus 16%. From Labour or from NACTU side, we will see, or we want to see, that that money or the money can be putting back into the coffers of the workers for creating unemployment. What is the net of having that money available and then it's not utilized in terms of to the benefit of the workers who contribute mainly to the unemployment fund, because it's also the money of the workers, the money of the unemployment fund. And then to the investigation in terms of the forensic investigation of the PIC, we would like to see that the culprits will, on the end of the day, taken to task in the thorough investigation have to be done, and then that there can be deal with the culprits in terms of the stuff that they was doing. And then in terms of the pension fund, we agree with Labour, that is workers' hard-working money through all of the years. So we don't want that money to be ending up into the hands of people who manage on the end of the day and don't utilize their own money to the benefit that they're supposed to do. And now they want to have a second bite of the cherry to put their hands on hard-working money of the pension fund. From NACTU side, we said it's a no-no and it's a no-go. We don't. Our mandate is not to support the assistance in terms of SAA and all the other guys or all the other stakeholders who want to request the PIC for money in terms of their mismanagement in terms of their own funds. So as I said, we agree. We don't want to duplicate. We agree with all the other issues that was raised by the rest of Labour.
Okay, first I just want to introduce ourselves again. Was my colleague is David Reuters, who is from the liaison officer for National Public Service Workers Union, who is affiliated to NACTU. We have been mandated by NACTU to represent the Federation here. I'm also the chairperson of National Public Service Workers Union in the Western Cape. So we got that mandate from our principals. Just to add, we are not going to say long. We've got a clear mandate from our federation and our union that GPF funds mustn't be utilized to fund projects that are actually incurring losses over the years. We view, when you look at SAA, that it's an expense rather than an asset. It's an expense because there's nothing that we get from it. And I think we do have a proof of that through mismanagement, which the government is not, the way I see it, it doesn't seem that it's willing to overturn it for the benefit of the citizens of this country. And secondly, I would like to also to concur with SAFTU when they say that these monies should be channeled in projects that are sustainable. If I may add, the projects that are actually assets, where, if I can quote the former president, Thabo Mbeki, he once said when he was interviewed by Power FM, you, at least if you build a factory, there is no one is going to come and capture it and take it to Dubai. So when, yes, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that. It's just what he said. I'm not saying it's the truth. Okay. So it's just when you build a house, we are the employees. We are the workers who worked for that money. And if we are the workers, we should have our own homes. So if you invest that money in our own homes, at least nobody is going to come and steal it, especially when we are the retiree, when it's a pension money. It's money that when it is utilized, at least when you retire, you will relax without any worry, having a place to stay. I think we do have a problem of housing, especially we as workers. And if we can look in that, I know that in terms of PSCBC, it was already mentioned that PSCBC, we've got resolutions in terms of the housing benefits that we need to get. But we'll find that it's not fast-tracking because of some funds. So that is just an example that I'm making in terms of when we're making utilizing our pensions. So PIC should look in that in terms of ensuring that our money, if it cannot be paid where it has been invested, you know that you've got somebody that you can recover. But when it comes to SAA, if I may add, even ESCOM in these days, I can see that there's some sign of a bailout that we are doing, because each and every time there's an 18%, 25% that is increased, but at the end of the day, we don't get that much. So all those entities that are seems to be the bailout, if they can be avoided, so that at least we know that our funds are secured. So that is the position of NACTU. Thank you.
Can we throw it open now? Yeah, Dikeledi, Tandi, Mr. Mania, Derek.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to remind the chairperson that in the earlier session, when we were still at Good Hope, we agreed that GEPF will have to give some information, even though we agreed that they're going to write. So I was trying to say, Chair, maybe we should give them that opportunity to respond to that question.
Just to remind you, they are responding at Well, I mean, 16 or on the agenda, but it'll be later because we had to go up and down and so on. But they will reply. Thanks for reminding us, particularly. The other thing to just remember, Thabo, is we have to table Jay Naidoo's letter. Just table it for what it's worth. And he has made a recommendation about hearings and so on. We don't take a decision on it. But who's next is Tandi.
Thank you, Chair. I do not have a question for COSATU, SAFTU, NACTU. I have a question for Solidarity. I'm interested to know, in your own understanding, who do you think should determine the soundness of investment? Because the board advises the executive on which investment is sound enough to invest in. So in your opinion, who should determine that? Secondly, who should also determine and measure projects who, in your opinion, are deemed to be risky? And thirdly, which investment are supposed to be discussed with third parties? And I hope PIC is listening in this context, because the experience has been to say why this investment and not that investment. So at what point, and I'm not talking about the direct involvement of the depositors as part of the board, I'm talking about strategic investment decisions that are taken, because, and I'm asking this question, PIC, in an event you are taken for litigation to say this particular investment was risky and was not sound, and we look at the legal framework that gives the parameters to the shareholder to make such a decision. May I be advised? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me just echo very briefly. I mean, you've already said it. The PIC has done exceptionally well. I mean, it's not a subject of view. Just in terms of the return on investment that they've managed to obtain over a number of years, and thereby benefiting the workers and their pensions that they will derive from this investment.
Just to add something that occurred to me, I'm sorry to know.
Yeah.
Is it correct that you went unqualified reports for about 15 years?
That as well.
That's another remarkable thing, Derek.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they've done exceptionally well, and there's no question about that. However, I mean, clearly what we've heard from stakeholders is that there are concerns. Just a couple of points here and a question to the unions, a couple of questions perhaps. One is that, I mean, the PIC is a creature of statute. So there's a law that governs the PIC. In terms of the law, the minister has certain powers, including the appointment of the board. So, Comrade Vavi, the committee can't establish rules. The committee can advise the minister and even prepare a report that says, having listened to the stakeholders, we would recommend the following measures. However, it's your money that they deal with. It's workers' money. And so there you have the clout. The committee actually doesn't have the clout except in, if necessary, changing the law. So that power the committee does have. My two questions to the unions really is, one is the current practice where the deputy minister is the chairperson of the board. That's not there by law. It's there. It's a practice that was established some years ago. In the earlier days of the practice, nobody had any issues about it, but today people do. And that's what we're hearing. And that's what we have to be alert to, alive to, and sensitive to. The question is, again, by way of recommendation, do you believe that this is the best model? That the deputy minister necessarily chairs the board of the PIC? First question. Second question is, or partly question and comment. I mean, I think what we're hearing from all of the unions, and I think that there's
there's a common message from all of the unions, because they all have an interest and they're all defending their workers, their members' interests, if you like, is that there should be worker representation or union representation on the board. Now, the law provides for it, so the law wouldn't have to be changed in order to accommodate it. We've had some informal discussions. I chairperson, you're right. I mean, if we want to adopt a hard position on this, then the study group should meet. But between us here, we are pretty much in agreement that there's a very strong case. And so we would agree with the unions that there really should be worker representation on the board. The point of departure here would be either by way of a report or some way is to get the responsible minister, namely the Minister of Finance, to do just that. Failing that, the committee does have the power and to make specific provision in the law that there should be inclusion of workers on the board. Thank you.
Okay, there was Mr. Bania then.
Jefferson, just a question specifically to Kasatu, because they dealt with it. I'm not sufficiently familiar with the union environment or the bargaining council environment, but let's assume that the minister had an appetite to appoint one or more members of or union representatives on the board. How would could you be a little bit more specific? How would the unions nominate a member? You do touch on it, but I wonder if you could just expand on that point.
Okay, who's next, Floyd?
No, thanks, Chair. I think that the submissions by all the labor federations are actually very useful in terms of what could be the way forward, and not only for the PIC, broadly for state-owned companies. I agree with what SAFTU calls democratization of the boards and the FEDISA calls court determination. I think that is what we should do. Actually, in the process of, because I serve in the public enterprises as well, I think that all labor should unite in making submissions to public enterprises on how the boards of state-owned companies should be constituted and composited with specific emphasis on worker representation, so that there's some degree of accountability, and it's not just one individual who appoints the whole board for themselves and for their friends. I think that is one of the most important things that, and I'm thinking, Chair, that a two-pronged approach should be taken when it comes to the TIC in particular, that in the immediate, let's take a resolution as the Standing Committee on Finance that the minister should fill the vacancies with worker representatives. But in the long term, we should change legislation to be clear. Like currently it says that the minister must have due regard to the depositors. Can actually make it much more clear, like articulate much more clearly in law, so that it's not just an optional consideration and everything else. It's clear that when a PIC board is constituted, workers should be represented there. And then then workers will have the platform to, in the GEPF side, inform what is the investment mandate, and in the PIC part as well, make sure that that investment mandate is implemented. Because the issue, for instance, of a housing scheme is a genuine one. Like to having a housing fund which is anchored by the PIC and gives access to members of GEPF, it's one of the most sensible things that had to be priority under normal circumstances. Like it's one of the things that, and the PIC can be able to carry such an institution in terms of what it can actually solve a lot of problems in terms of what happens. And I agree with the General Secretary that we should look into this forensic investigation with some degree of suspicion. I mean, the person you call the blue-eyed boy of the Guptas, if he was genuine about forensic investigation, he's supposed to investigate Transnet and Eskom.
where there is prima facie case of 500 million paid to Trillion Capital. If Malusi is genuine about clean governance and accountability and everything else, the forensic investigation was supposed to be directed at ESCOM. He's not said anything. He's not said anything about investigation of Transnet and in an area where we are all saying that there is relative stability, then there must be a forensic investigation. It's indeed a fishing expedition which is aimed at continuing with the capture phenomena that has characterized South Africa in the recent past. So I think we should view it with suspicion. Even when we later on draft that letter to ask for explanation, we must deal with it that if you are consistent with the forensic investigations, let us extend it to ESCOM, to Transnet, and all the state-owned companies that in any way he presided over before. I think those are some of the issues, but my view is that we need to take an immediate resolution about whether representation in the PSC board and then a long-term vision could be the legislating part so that it's clearly articulated and it is not subject to individuals' interest who happen to be in ministerial positions, because it's not sustainable. I think those who made the law, they suspected that the ministers and presidents will be rational human beings. But I saw the General Secretary of SATU says that the head of state takes Nyaupe. Maybe it's possible, so we don't know.
But you say it with such glee that you obviously would have said it anyway yourself, right, Tandi? And then we would.
Chair, I don't want to subject myself to the glitz and glamour of Floyd.
Can you note that, Timo, in the minutes, please? Yeah. Okay. I'll use that.
There's one point.
And I'll say it's not me, it's Tandi, Floyd.
I forgot just one point, and it related to what Fedusa has said about a study conducted in. I am getting old, Chair. A study conducted in Europe. Can we get more information on that so that we can see the applicability of it in the South African context? And the second issue, Chair, I wanted us to flag the issue they raised around dividends paid to National Treasury so that at some point National Treasury is able to respond to that. I don't know how will we manage to have it before
we'll do that. Yeah, I also noticed
the end of the disgrace.
Right, Floyd?
Okay.
Yeah, just quickly, anyone were in good hope chamber. I think the PIC gave wrong numbers with regards to the black asset managers. Perhaps they must clarify that properly in terms of how much is given to external black asset managers to manage some of the funds, because that information is on record and should be clarified so that we are receiving information that is accurate.
We've covered that. We're going to write all the questions out again and send it to them. But if they want to reply now and they have that information, they should. Can we wait, Comrade Vavi? I haven't asked any questions. Derek, you'll be impressed to know I've got 29. I'm going to ask about 7. Plus, I'm going to facilitate. That's not my question. That's my job as a chair. We must separate. Advocate Jenkins, can you do a paper on this? Where the chair is facilitating from where he or she is asking his or her own questions. The first one to say is, in fairness, the minister and deputy minister are not here. So Samuel Mandewane, you are writing down all the issues. Now, whether one personally agrees, Tandi, or not with the claims made here about the minister and deputy minister, they have a right of reply. So when we draw up the questions between Samuel, Sanele, Zakele, and Antonia, can you list the specific questions to which the minister and deputy minister must reply? Many of those things are in the public domain. Neither the minister nor the deputy minister doesn't know it. But in fairness, they should have a right of reply. Right? So that's the first thing to say. The second thing very quickly is, I was hoping that we'd hear the GEPF and PIC before we come to conclusions, but I take what Derek and Floyd and them are saying, that some things are so obvious we don't have to discuss it. So the first thing is, I think we must more or less agree. We'd like the response of GEPF and FPIC to this. We more or less agree that there should be worker representation on the PIC board, and we want to hear if it's possible for the GEPF and PIC to give us their tentative responses. I know the chair of the board is not here of the PIC, so they might feel they're unable to speak, but that's the first thing. But what's happening here is something more. Floyd is saying that we should put it in legislation. And personally, I'm fine with that. I think we should agree with it, and maybe today we're meeting just now, the study group. We'll come back tomorrow with a position. The third thing to say is that obviously the leadership of the union and union federations that's here are politically very advanced and sophisticated, right? And you have a firmer grip of the issues. Now, without saying anything about the quality of consciousness at worker level, I think it would be important to draw a distinction between saying, presumably, that we as unions are not wanting our money to be used in ailing state-owned entities, right? But that is separate from agreeing, and if you're on the boards of the PIC and GEPF more effectively, you'll have a say. The money being used for infrastructure rollout, which will benefit job creation and the working class and its allies. So, you know, we can say these things here, but I can tell you this, that, you know, my own experience, others will tell you, you bump into people, shop stewards even, and the way they speak about their money. We've been through this thing with a pension story, right? I myself have been chairing since 2014. I can tell you the attitude of people, you know. So it's understandable. It's not for me to sit here with my fat cat salary and judge. I'm simply saying that the leadership of the trade union federations and unions here obviously must make it clear that you're not saying no to investments that are worker-oriented and developmental-oriented and job creation-oriented and so on. That's something you should do. I'm glad, Derek, you raised it, because you come in here almost as if we can prescribe to the minister and deputy minister and the GEPF and PIC what to do. I will confer with Advocate Jenkins about where our legal parameters begin and end, but we are very clear that we will do what we have to do, but some of it can come by way of recommendations. But the executive can come back to us and say, and the GEPF and the PIC, you passed this legislation, why are you asking us to do things that you know you cannot ask us to do? Change the law. So what the committee needs to apply its mind to, beyond Floyd's proposal, which I think there's sort of a warm, or let's say positive reception to, what other changes do we want in the law to provide for more effective oversight by Parliament? Now, the DA has already inserted in the public domain that they've got some private members' motion. There's nothing to hide. I'm going to speak to the study group this evening. I have had a fleeting exchange with Mr. Mania over the phone. And to say there's a gap between what you're saying from what I see in the media and what we're saying as the ANC probably and what the unions are saying is not that wide. So, you know, we can also consider, because we are entitled to do so, if we don't get cooperation from the executive to have a committee. We can get a draft from the DA, but have a committee proposal. And it's high time Parliament did that sort of thing. We must bring our own bills. The issue then is, you know, we'll have to address at some later stage. It's not for us, but the point I want to make is Derek's absolutely right. Some of you seem to be saying to us, do these things, when the power resides with you, it's your money, it's your members' money. And you must realize that there's this dialectical relationship, if you like, between mass struggles out there and what Parliament can do. As we've repeatedly said, on the financial sector transformation, you want us to be more transformative, then you have to exercise your political muscle out there, the SACP with its campaign, on financial sector coalition campaign and so on. So similarly, we are saying to you, you must insist on a meeting, as you have been doing with the minister. That's the other thing I forgot I was going to say. That in our letter to the minister, we say we would strongly urge you to meet with the unions as soon as possible, bearing in mind that you've got your first MTBPS. I mean, we have to be realistic, right? It's coming back from Washington, I think, today or tomorrow, and then next week is the MTB, and it's the first time. What you think of him is neither here nor there. It's the first time he's handling MTBPS. So it's a big thing, and I think we should give them some space. But that was the recommendation, Floyd, that was prompted by what you were saying, that I think we should recommend. But now you're talking about resolution, we can come to that. I think maybe that's what we should do. Okay, then the next thing is, so there are many avenues you have apart from coming to Parliament, obviously, and you know it. I mean, who am I to tell Comrade Bobby they take to the streets, right? You'll say, how, Eunice? Who are you to tell me that, right? But you know the power you have as unions, and so on and so on. The next thing is, I want to plead with the GEPF and PIC. See, I don't really feel as a parliament here, we invited everybody, right? There are some people who are in the GEPF and PIC who are not here, and we're going to engage with them. And say, we couldn't fit everybody in, but you have a right to come. So the next time you meet, they want to come, they can come. The UIF might want to come and so on. But the point is, you're all saying the same thing. So what we are saying is, look, I'm going to go very fast, now we're running out of time, right? This housing loans thing, I really like it. It's so original. I never thought of it, with due respect to everybody here. It's the most original thing I've heard. And I see Floyd is also agreeing with it. But I think the ANC might, and I think Derek agreed with it. So I think really, can we edge towards, I think maybe discussing these things, and instead of me writing a letter and sending it to you, why don't we do what Floyd is suggesting? Tomorrow, between 9:30 and 10:30, I come with a draft, like short resolution. I can email it to you later tonight. But the main priority is the BRRR. Okay, or you can help draft it tomorrow, but between 9:30, let's actually send a resolution to the minister. That's tighter. It's a committee resolution across all political parties. So the other thing that strikes me is GEPF and PIC. When your unions are asking you for information, I can't see how you can deny them. I don't know what's going on here, but solidarity. If the matter is not resolved within a month, can you write to us? We will actually then write to the minister and deputy minister and say, whatever it is, you're entitled to it. Now, there are market sensitivities. As you put it, secrets. I'd rather use the word market sensitivities. Now, if there are market sensitivities, the PIC and GEPF can have a closed meeting with you and show you the information. You can't photocopy it and so on because it can leak, right? So basically, I'm saying there are other ways to deal with this issue, right? If there are market sensitivities and so on, even with advice of Advocate Jenkins or the legal, we can have a closed meeting with you. It's very difficult to do in Parliament. So can I plead with the PIC and GEPF? You have no choice, really. Just give them the information. They're entitled to it. They are great litigators, Solidarity. Great litigators. And then you're going to be using workers' money, their own money as well, to fight them. So please, let's not do what the Home Affairs Department has been doing since 1994. Every committee in Parliament has raised this issue. They keep losing, but they'll still go to court. They must pay up from themselves. Now I see the judges are saying that. Okay. Then the issue of, I'm going to skip all these other questions. Yes, did board members apply for funding? Can you tell us? Is this true? We hear it about in the paper. Did board members from the PIC apply for funding? I think that's a fair question. Answer this. Then, all boards should have working class representation. Personally, I agree. I have no choice because of my ideological affinities, right? But now, I don't think it's something this committee can decide. It's something that public enterprise can decide. Floyd, you are there. You can even quote me as saying, for what it's worth, one of your members agrees with me. Then they'll say, yeah, but he's a Communist Party member. Who cares? But that's neither here nor there. I agree with it personally. But you have an issue, Floyd. I don't think one wants to push things over the hilt. You see, the minister can rightly argue that I am saying that I want a forensic investigation in the PIC. But Eskom and Transnet falls under the Ministry of Public Enterprises. I may also agree with you, but it's for Lynn Brown to do that. So strictly speaking, you must go to that committee and raise that there, that, you know, there should be forensic investigation. I don't think the ANC study group here, if I know it, is going to disagree with you, but that's our study group. I can't speak for other study groups. Then finally, I just want to make some requests. You see, Zakele Antonio, our excellent researchers, it wasn't the intention of this meeting, but it's gone where it has. I think what would be nice is if we do now a report on this thing. There's no hurry, because for 2 weeks we caught up in the MTB cycle. What we can do is ask each of the trade unions here and federations to give us 500 words to summarize what you would like in the report. We will edit it, but we won't change the content. We may, if you give us 1,000 words, we're not going to use it. So if you can give us 500 words, there's no hurry because of the MTBS cycle, even by next Friday. Thibault, you write to them, right? By next Friday. So we put down what you're saying. You see, you've given us your submissions. We can ask Antonio and Zakele to summarize it. But there are many issues that have occurred today where you have also responded to what GEPF and PIC have said. So you put down your stuff. We will send it to GEPF and PIC. You can do your responses, and we will do a short report, not more than 10 pages. with some recommendations emerging from it. It will include aspects of the resolution that we hope to pass tomorrow. So that's what I'm suggesting. As for the chair, now the one issue that comrades, colleagues, I wish we must think carefully about, and let's not take a decision, at least not before, for the ANC, I'm pleading. You see, it is perfectly understandable the suspicions, the skepticism, the cynicism even of many of the worker leaders here about the board being chaired of the PIC now by the deputy minister. So that's fine. And as Derek says, it just happened, and I think in the early years it wasn't necessarily the case. But you see, there is also something else. We must not conflate, I feel, and I'm pleading that we don't have a long discussion about this, we think this thing through, if I'm defeated on this, it's fine. What can I do? Nothing. We mustn't conflate all the suspicions of the current moment about the current leadership of National Treasury with the need for somebody to politically mediate from above, so to speak. In other words, if we're talking about a developmental-oriented, worker-oriented, job-creation-oriented, economic growth stimulation-oriented investment, the different trade unions here and federations, given your ideological and other differences, will have different orientations. Somebody has to mediate. And ultimately, an elected public representative, a deputy minister, it seems to me, is a reasonable thing to do, maybe. Now, is there some way we can deal with the current concerns about the current leadership of National Treasury and separate it out from the strategic question? Because those are political decisions, ultimately, based on a very clear set of criteria. So we can amend the legislation, maybe, and set out criteria for, and the consultation process. For example, that it is fine for the deputy minister, I'm just putting in crude terms, Alvick Jenkins, but you know, you can help us formulate it in a nicer legalese way. It's fine for a deputy minister to be head, but he or she cannot make decisions without the following criteria. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including consultation of the workers. Now, if you look at this as a package deal, if you get, as you will, I'm sure, sooner or later, worker representation on the PIC board, if you actually take to the streets as you are doing around, if you've cleared that, you've been very strong. In fact, you made our job easy as a committee. You've made it clear that you're taking to the streets, and COSATU's made it clear at its conference where you addressed. You can invite the minister and deputy minister to your other federations, SAFTU and NAFTU and so on. That's your right. If all of these things are put together, do we really want to swoop into at this stage saying right now, we don't want a deputy minister to lead? And if so, how will we deal with the issues that may arise in future? What if you had Moses Kotane as the deputy minister of finance? I mean it in the figurative sense, obviously, or Walter Sisulu. So can we be but reflective about that? Finally, as I say, comrades in the study group, if it's your decision, then I'm just saying defer it till our meeting this evening. Can we think through those things? And then can you bring your what's it called, private member's motion reasonably soon? I don't think we should let this thing run long. There are long processes here in Parliament, also on private members' motions. I've spoken to Mr. Mania. I can't prescribe to him. There's a way of dealing with this thing, to make it a committee bill. And that puts a lot of leverage on the executive. Because if we ask them to do a bill, they'll stall and so on. Let us tell them this is a draft bill we've got. You want to be party to this or not? And we go to our chief whip, Derek, and we say this is a bill we want, and you go to your John Steiners and whoever, and so on, and Floyd will speak to himself, and so on. But the thing is, we get it done. So there's no time wasting. So I would say another aim would be, we meet in the third week of November, or even earlier if we can, and then we get a bill out before we leave on the 29th or so of November, a draft bill. That's a committee bill. So those are things, you know, but can we now, Floyd, can we come back at the end? Let's hear the responses from the trade unions quickly. We're giving each of you 3 or 4 minutes. You can do the rest in writing. Then we move to GEPF and PICC, and it's 4:20. We can finish at 5:30. So if the union federations are given, unless it's an absolutely urgent thing, Floyd, I don't want to stifle you. If there's something very urgent, then you can raise it now, especially if it's helping with facilitating a way forward. What do you want to say? Very quickly.
Chair, I think there's an urgent issue that we have to deal with maybe as part of these legislative considerations. That
I think we should legislate that the PIC is the exclusive manager of the GEP fund. Because if that is not tightened, the GEPF can decide one day legally to say, no, we're going to take half of the funds and give to Coronation or to, if that is, if what they're saying is true. And there won't be a sound legal basis to prevent them from doing that, because the PO said, I'm not bound to the PIC. The PIC is going on its own way. I can take the money and take it elsewhere. I think we need to guard that. Because I think also the issue which was not responded to about BlackRock and all of those things and the other bank, and it's an issue which arises, because they can say, no, actually not even going to give to the local fund managers, let's give it to an international fund manager who will manage it for us much more successfully. Like majority of the pension funds in the continent are managed somewhere in Europe. So I think we need to guard against that so that there's no loophole left in that regard. We're still going to get the written response in terms of who are the other fund managers that the GPF has mandated to manage its fund. But I think politically, it will be sensible to democratize the PIC board representation, but also to guard it, to say that it's an exclusive manager for the GEP fund.
Actually, I agree with him. I don't know what the ANC members and others feel. I think it's a good idea. But whether you want to say put it in the bill now, that we'll look at a bill. But we can say something softer in a resolution, would like consideration. The other thing that strikes me listening to Floyd, we should put in our resolutions. Zanelli, will you remember? Zakeli, will you remember these points? The other thing I think we need to say is we appeal to the trade union and the workers not to, at this stage, consider withdrawing from the GEPF. You see, it seems to me also that it's like running away, and workers in this country never run away from a battle. It's like falling into the lap of the very people you accuse of being the enemy, the state capturers. So what we can maybe in our resolution say is that we appeal to those who are considering withdrawing, that this is premature, and let this process evolve over the next 6 months before any such further consideration be given to that sort of thing. So we can even say that, if that's okay, to members in our resolution for tomorrow. On this matter. Okay, having said that, can we move to Kosatu onwards? Can we, look, everybody now, this time I'm going to be tough and fair. Can we agree, colleagues, everybody gets 4 minutes, no more? Because now we're going to be fair to everybody. 4 minutes? Right, good. So let's start with Kosatu, and this is now being recorded here, right? So this is the time watch. 4 minutes for Kosatu. Where are you?
Here, yeah, Chair. Yeah. Sure, just quickly, Chair. I think
you don't have to use 4 minutes, but I mean up to 4 minutes.
Sure. I think just to Honourable Tandy's point about the mandate of the PIC, I think we're glad to hear from the PIC this morning that they want to spend more on manufacturing, more on agriculture. We support that. I think, Chair, as Kosatu, would like to put on record that we welcome Comrade Shivambu's proposals, that the committee say the minister must appoint union reps as selected by the PSCBC and the GEPF. But I think, Chair, it's also important that there must be a law, say, by end of next year, before we go to elections, and David Meyer becomes president. It must be required by law, Chair, because we can't be dependent upon friendship of ministers. Ministers in these days come and go every other week, and we don't want to be dependent upon a personal favour. We have a PSCBC that has clear union representation, clear thresholds in the public service. So it's very easy to say in a law the PSCBC proportionally must elect representatives to sit on the PIC, etc. So I think also to respond to Comrade David Menier's point, let it be the PSCBC which elects amongst itself proportionately union representation. I think, Chair, also Honourable Shivamba's proposals around having similar legislation on SOEs, we support that. We have had some successes as Kosatu around pushing it to some boards. Other areas we've had ministers resisting us at all costs. So I think we would support that quite strongly, and I think we could get consensus amongst all the federations around that. I must also say, Chair, we've been waiting for years for the Minister of Public Enterprises to bring the SOE Shareholders Bill to Parliament. to strengthen the executive oversight over the SOEs. We've heard nothing from her. We've raised it with the ministry countless times. Maybe it's obvious why we're not hearing anything in that regard. I think to the members around the issue of the housing allowance and the PIC, this in fact is an issue that unions across the federations have been raising in the Public Sector Bargaining Council. We're glad the committee is supporting it because, in fact, Treasury has been resisting it. So I think we might even be useful for a further discussion because we've been raising our annual negotiation with the Public Service Administration Minister and Treasury for exactly the reason that colleagues have raised it here today. I think Shivam was on a roll today, but we'd also support this thing of proposal to make legislatively required that the GPS funds are managed by the PIC. We don't want to have mood changes down the road. Well, Chair, sometimes the ANC falls asleep on the job, so, but also the change, because normally the EFF attacks us, so we're welcoming that respite today, Chair. I think lastly, Comrade Chair, on your points, for us and our proposal, and we'll put it right here again, we look at ways to further strengthen the PIC so that if there's mandate changes to the PIC, let it come both to the GPF beforehand and also to Parliament. Let large investments of significance also go to GPF beforehand. Parliament must be informed. And of course, annual reports to Parliament. And I think we'd also welcome a role for Parliament to have a selection process around board members. I think, Chair, on the last issue you raised around the Deputy Minister, we understand theoretically what you're saying. But practically, we're in a difficult spot because we've also heard that the National Power and Fund, which is led by the Deputy Minister's sister, is coming to the PIC for money. So there's huge conflict of interest, which theoretically we understand. If Moses Kotane was there, it can be fine, but we're not dealing with Moses Kotane. So I think we need to find ways to strengthen the checks and balances, as you're proposing, Chair. But also, lastly, Chair, that, you know, the PIC is not government's personal petty cash. It's workers' money. I think
that's 4 minutes, yeah, very quickly.
Lastly, Chair, look, we're also not just harassing members around these issues. We have been engaging at the GPF and the Bargaining Council. We've been trying to meet with the Minister. He's been running away from us, but we'll keep pushing. I think that is it, Chair.
Thank you so much. Okay, that was 22 seconds over, but fine. Next, please, that will be Fedusa.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Darius, they've got a flight issue, right? Can we just take them quickly, 4 minutes, if you don't mind?
Who's this?
Fedusa, they've got a flight issue. Flight, meaning they've got a flight. Solidarity, sorry.
They can take a taxi train.
No, I mean, you're being tough. I can actually rule. I'm ruling from the chair that Solidarity, go for it. I know you're being funny, though. Good. Right, can you go for it now? There's no need to laugh. Can we please start?
Thanks very much, Chi. Yes, thank you for the Dory.
Good, thank you.
On the information issue, we're sitting, we'll follow that procedure to fly down. And then secondly, by next Friday, we will give our written requests as to what we'd like to see in some sort of report. May I just take the opportunity to try to answer the questions of the Honourable Member? I'll try to reduce them to two. Basically, who should determine where money is invested and who should measure the risk? I'll try to do that in one answer. Obviously, the PIC has an investment committee and a risk committee with consultants and the like looking at where money should be invested, and they have a strategy. We've not presumed to interfere with that, but we do feel that because it's workers' money, we have the right to scrutinize the procedures that have been followed prior to investments that have been made and where money is invested in. Because it's not a issue of a person simply investing and taking risks and seeing what comes out. This is workers' money. So we do have the right, anybody has the right, certainly the federations and unions here, to test the rationality of certain investments and the policy in itself. And I think the second question is what should be discussed with third parties. I think there's almost no cap to what should be discussed, short of those investments Chair used a better word than secrets, I can't recall. But obviously, without laying bare certain trade secret issues or whatever, investment issues, but in a closed session with confidentiality procedures, I think there's almost no bar on what should be disclosed to third parties simply for the sake of testing, you know, and ensuring that the fiduciary duty of the PIC is given effect to. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Comrade George. It's you now. 4 minutes, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have prepared a paper for NEDLAC on worker directors, but in the broader context, not just for the PIC. But it can be, if the Chairperson give us an email address, we can forward the paper to you tonight, Stone. But what we did was we wrote it in a context for state-owned enterprises and listed companies to make it more inclusive, okay? But I mean, the model can be adapted to make a provision as a resolution to the minister. Okay. Chairperson, with the recommendation that we've made to NEDLAC regarding the paper, we also suggested that there should be a study visit to specifically go for a week to Germany to look specifically in what was the implementation challenges, how did it contribute to make Germany this fast-growing economy currently, that they even create jobs during 2008. My colleague next to me is going to speak about, not now, on the housing issue, because they have some particular issue. On the issue of the withdrawal from our position from the PIC, I mean, we will be quite willing to withdraw that proposal, but the minister must withdraw his statement, because he's got no right in law or in any way to come and tell the PIC what to do. He doesn't even contribute to the fund. So, I mean, you know, we want to go a little bit to war with him on that issue. But, I mean, for us, the issue is we can withdraw, but then he must also withdraw his issue. On the issue of the SAA, I mean, SAA cannot be eligible for funding because the board is unlawful. The chairperson's term have expired, and they gave an opinion. I mean, we must give respect to the rule of law and respect those things. That's very important. I mean, we are not adverse to the fact that South Africa is a developing country and that we have to support, you know, employment creation, inclusive economic growth. But then it must be an inclusive process, you know, and that the thing should not be done like we had massive bailouts. And what happened was that opportunity was used to loot and to capture and to do all kinds of wrong things. And that is what our trade unions were so angry, that they said they don't want to bail out state-owned enterprises. But we are prepared to have a follow-up discussion with you on that. But let me ask my colleague to talk to us about the housing.
Chair, I hope my colleague left me some time. On housing, currently the PIC is already involved in housing in the government employee housing scheme through the SA Home Loans Initiative. I'm sure that can be streamlined in a way that will still be profitable to members of the fund. As Fudusa, we at PSA, we're not of the view that money should be thrown into another bottomless pit, but I'm sure currently SA Home Loans make money out of it. The PIC yield proper returns out of it. So I'm sure if you take that model and refine it, there will definitely be enough scope to assist public servants who can't at this stage access either RDP housing or other housing through the scheme. In terms of the composition of the board, I must just mention that currently the GPF board is constituted on a 50-50 representation basis, and the 150% come out of the PSCBC representation in any case. So a similar model can be applied there. As PSA Fedusa, we're not supportive of...
4 minutes.
two sentences, yes. Chair. We're not supportive of a deputy minister being the chair. We believe that the independent specialist can be, if you have 50-50 representation with an independent specialist with a clear mandate from stakeholders, would be sufficient. And we believe that Kusatu indicated that they would like legislation to say that the GPF should have a sole investment arm being the PIC. We are not supportive of that. We believe it can leave the GPF vulnerable and it can leave it open to abuses by the same capturing kind of...
you can write to us, right? Okay, thank you. Bhavi? Post them, they'll answer in writing. Kumri Bhavi, thank you.
We will write the 500 words to summarize our proposition. Thank you very much for that opportunity. We're encouraged by the consensus that is quite broad between the issues
very
and
rare.
Labor.
First time in a long time. So all the committee, all of us. The workers have brought us together. I hope you bring yourselves together as well.
Thank you very much. That's a very, very important intervention right there. We're quite encouraged and will therefore encourage you to go into the direction of a committee bill that can begin to look at all of the recommendations that I imagine, which I think, frankly, everybody seems to be agreeing to. On the issue of the chairpersonship, we insist, look, all of us wrote the Constitution having in mind the best for the country, men of integrity, and all of that. I can tell you, Chairperson, Moses Kotane, which both of us will celebrate and honor all of the time, didn't leave in 2017 managing billions and trillions. The recent 10, 23 years have taught us incredible history about how trusted individuals get turned into completely different animals when there's money involved. We now know that. We have countless experiences. We can write books about it. Everywhere else, in terms of the other state enterprises, there's not one board that is being chaired by any minister. All of the boards are chaired by professionals who are having particular skills to direct the work of the boards into a particular direction. So please remove the chairpersonship as being the minister automatically. You're going to have not this last minister who's accused of 150 million rands baggage from other state enterprises. You will have the worst in the future. Just remove that. And just have a board that can sign a memorandum of understanding with the political leadership or authority and regulate their relationship in that way. The other thing that I thought that I mentioned, I see that you are picking it up, we do not have an in-principle objection to pensions, provident funds playing a role in the development goals of the country, including investing in the state-owned enterprises. No. But we are specific about the current situation where state-owned enterprises are needing bailouts following their mismanagement by the guys you know who have deployed their guys there for the sole purpose of looting. So only in relation to this specific crisis, we're saying don't use the workers' pensions to bail them out. Those who are driving this agenda will have to find money elsewhere. We don't know where, but it can be from the pension funds. I think that's the point that we were making. In relation to the issue of forensic audit, please take that issue up as a recommendation if you can't act in terms of the legislation on it. I think all of you share our concern that this is a smoking gun for something else. Please stop that from happening. Without protecting the CEO or protecting anybody from the PIC, but don't allow people who have baggages.
We're at 4 minutes. minutes. Yeah.
Okay. To now suddenly find some conscience and try forensic audit, which we know why they are doing it. The issue of housing is not some reckless expenditure or throwing money in the bottomless pit. Fedusa, please withdraw that proposition. The issue of housing is absolutely a necessity for public sector workers. They can't continue to compete with the unemployed for RTP houses when they are sitting on trillions, or being rejected by the banks when they are sitting on trillions. That proposition we strongly recommend, and that must be taken forward. Thank you very much.
We get the drift. Okay, next then is SAF 2 is done. Solidarity is done. NAF 2 query. Yeah. Don't I know that? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. We are very glad there was the proposal and there was the willingness of the honourable members of parliament to allow union representation on the PIC, because it's actually the money of the workers and they have to be part and parcel of the whole process when it comes to their money. And then on the other hand, Comrade Floyd, thanks a million for raising the issue that let's call a spade, what is good for Pete is good for Anna. So clean up the parastatal companies in terms of the forensic audit that was requested for the other entity. I think that is a good and a very, very straightforward, honest proposal. And from NACTU's side, we really appreciate that one. And then in terms of the pension...
To win the majority over, you should acknowledge the ANC. I mean, be political now, tactical, right? If you acknowledge the EFF, we're going to say how. No.
Can I just correct myself? It's not a fact that I want to. I don't want to honor any party. To me, it was to honor Comrade Floyd as a member of parliament raising that issue. Because I see the members of parliament from my side as a collective. So that's how I raise it from my side.
I think you're very wise, but I'll let you condemn yourself.
And the other thing, before the 4 minutes went...
My interruptions are not part of your 4 minutes.
Okay, thanks a million. The other thing is...
It is every time I interrupt you, extra time.
The other thing is a no-go for the minister or for the deputy minister to chair the PIC. Reason to be is not even legislation is governing that one. So therefore, I agree that the minister have to be removed in an impartial or someone who can be add value to the whole process can be appointed as the chairperson of the specific board. And then please safeguard the pension fund, the workers, or the workers' money. Let it be saved and let no one who is not supposed to lay their hands on hard-working pension money of the workers. The housing issue, my comrade will address us.
Yeah, just lastly, on the issue of the proposal that we have made that there must be an emphasis on investing on housing for the workers, we would like to make you understand that yes, there is SA loans that is part of that GHS, but it's not enough. It's still governed in a capitalist way where somehow we might see the same problem that we have with the banks is there. The workers have got money that is there for them. So if we were going that route of investing there, it must remove all the barriers that are there to ensure that at least we do benefit. We don't just make it as a smoke screen that we are doing something. At the end of the day, the workers are living out there homeless. Thank you.
We're done then for this part. Can we have, yes, Dicky Lady? Hand up very quickly. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of housing, Chair, Fedusa said something that interested me. But for a fact, I know that there has been on the agenda of PSCPC the housing allowance and issues of the of housing, and it has always been deadlock about that. I know the unions have been trying that. But you said something interesting about SA loan home loans. And knowing the history of property, I will have an interest of who owns that, who does it belong to, and is it only SA home loans that is, funded by PIC? Such things we need to know, because we don't want to see what is happening with permit here, where people don't have the right to choose. So it's a big problem. And also, Chair, we want to, this issue of PIC and the rumors that are outside there, we don't want to experience one thing that we experienced 2 years ago or so, or last year, where teachers or public servants, they had to resign, trying to save their money. And we don't want to see that, because that is not sustainable. That is very dangerous for them as individuals, but as families, as a country, because it is going to affect the economy. But if we don't look trusting or trustworthy with their funds, with their money, they will do that. And we must try by all means to avoid that. Thank you, Chair.
I don't know why you don't speak more often, Dikileri, as I keep saying to you, but over to you, Tandi. I don't know why you don't speak less often, but go ahead, Tandi. I withdraw that. Don't reply.
You don't start in front of guests, Chair. You know me very well. Chair, I want to say to the stakeholders today, we will consider some of the presentations that we've made, because we'll have our engagement. And that's why I insist that don't put your hopes on Floyd, you see. We decide. He can say all manner of things. Yeah.
Good point. Can you carry on that vein? You've got 10 minutes more on that one.
So be very careful. By the way, we used him to raise some of these things. You know, he's young and energetic. Yeah. I wonder...
See when he's 61, eh, Derek?
I want us, Chair, to flag those issues that we're going to process, and it will be good if some of the chain unions can be here tomorrow and hear some of the resolutions. It is not final resolutions. It's recommendations that will also translate into a second November meeting. But one of the low-hanging fruits will be the one of the role of depositors in the board. I think that one we've reached consensus on it. It's not an issue that... will be debated. It will not tilt and change policies. It's the right thing to do. It's actually part of the requirements. It shouldn't be discussed. And then the second one that I want us to apply our mind very carefully on, it's why in the first place there was a role of a deputy minister in the PIC board. If you can look why it was put there before, and expunge names, just look at the principle. And I think Comrade Vavi agrees with me on this one, that let's look at it, but let's look at the mandate and the role of that particular deputy minister, so that it doesn't blur the responsibilities and end up thinking that they can take decisions that are normally taken by boards themselves. So we need to have a balancing act on the specific ones, since we found one. Because in a way, that person will also represent the shareholder's views, but that doesn't mean it's going to discount the role of the board and its mandate as stipulated in the Act. So I want your good self to give us an opportunity to apply our minds on that one. Probably when we meet in November, we'll have taking a view on it, so that you know. Yes. So, and Chair, I want us to look at all models, the housing model itself, to come with. I know, for instance, let me make an example. In the past, in the Free State Development Corporation used to facilitate home loans for state employees at a very flexible interest rate. And somebody made a suggestion here that we want to take into consideration about an establishment of a fund within the fund that will attend to the issues of home loans. Maybe we might want to look at models that are applicable in other places that can be taken into consideration so that when the PIC meets, because it's one thing to take a decision, but let's look at the financial implications of the decisions we're going to make and how it can be budgeted in cycles that needs to come, because its applicability is going to be based on what are the yields and how we structure that and so on. So that there's a comprehensive approach as to how we're going to look at this. So in principle, I think it's an issue that is agreeable, but the nitty-gritties
okay,
of it,
that's
good.
Okay, just
I don't want to be long-winded. Some will look at all the recommendations that have been made, and then
we'll agree on that way forward. Okay. Thank you. Fedusa, you had a question, but you quickly reply to Dikilele.
Yes, Chair, it's a reply to Dikilele and a point of correction to Comrade Vavi. Fedusa is supportive of the model, but we said that certain safeguards must be built into. And in reference to the SA home loans, we say that the PIC is already involved in investing in a scheme through a private company, unlisted private company, we were told this morning. And if that is possible, we are sure that a model will be possible through the government employees housing scheme that came about as a result of a collective agreement that was signed in 2015 in the PACBC to develop that model further, to utilize the funds in a secure way to make sure that public servants get proper housing.
We don't want to get too involved in this discussion, right? It also falls to some extent on our Human Settlements Committee, but Vavi, very quickly.
No, thank you for that clarification, Fedusa, and we still insist that there must be a specific look on this issue. We don't think that the SA loans, home loans is the solution, otherwise it would not come down to a situation where only 5% of public servants own their houses, as we speak. We've got to address that. Secondly, Comrade Tandi, there have to be a share, the fact that the person, the government and its board must have their own arrangement in terms of how they relate to one another. To put in the shareholder as the chairperson of a board is an anomaly that will create problems. I think that it is creating in the PIC as we speak. Put those people separate from one another. Let the other one account politically. IDC does the same. SA, the land bank does the same. The DBSA does the same. Everybody does the same. Why in this particular instance do you get the shareholder to check the board?
Okay.
It's completely going to lead to problems because you then don't know how to account to one another. It will end up the bullying syndrome that we already seen through that letter that the minister have written.
Fine. Thank you. I think I was going to raise that at the end, that if the decision is to suggest that the board chair of PIC not be the deputy minister, then we have to deal with the relationship between Treasury and such a chairperson of a board. The second issue, members need to apply their mind. It's not for you to reply. I'm asking the members to think about this. Whether, strictly speaking, the PIC qualifies as a state-owned entity, I don't think it does, but it is a statutory entity and we can look at those issues. Let's not get embroiled in that now. I think our resolution is simply going to say we support this idea that consideration be given to the use of the PIC and so on and so on. So can we move on then to the GEPF? You will reply to any questions we raised earlier and the specific one that the committee prompted by Mr. Mania. Oh, by the way, if the union members are going, Mr. Mania says that, you know, you shouldn't focus on the EFF, nor should you focus on the ANC, because they're the future government from 2019, so you should suck up to them. That people can dream. People can dream, and it's their right to dream. I can't prescribe dreams here, but that's fine. Right, over to GEPF. Where are you, Dr. Mokatia?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the opportunity to come back to this question of whether or not we are concerned that there's a risk of the PIC being captured. I think we'd all agree that given what we know, as reported in the newspapers on state capture, in the public protector's report, as well as in the various emails that have been written about, there is a general concern within the country about the issue of state capture, and I think I would be speaking for not just for myself, but for my colleagues as well. You know, being responsible for such a large fund, that one of the critical issues is really for this matter to be finalized through, for example, the establishment of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry, so that we're not dealing with speculation, but that there's clarity as to where we are on that matter. Now, with respect to the PIC itself, following the various allegations made about the potential that there could be state capture afoot, as well as the allegations against the CEO, the GEPF's Investment Committee did convene to consider these matters, and in fact the board will be convening very shortly to consider these matters further. And in so doing, we will be looking at all the potential scenarios that could unfold, including whether or not there could be attempts to illegally or inappropriately access the GEPF members' funds, and also to determine what we should be doing to mitigate any of those risks, perceived risks. So that's on that question. But in general, I would like to also emphasize that in our safeguarding of the GEPF members' funds, we believe that the issue goes beyond the current heightened sensitivity or current heightened concern about state capture, and that there's a need for any board of the GEPF to be consistently vigilant, because there is a temptation for people to see the GEPF, particularly given its size, as a source of funding, an easy source of funding, or as a source for the fiscus, and forget that this money, every penny of it, actually belongs to members. So this is something that we believe all GEPF board members must be vigilant about. It's not something that the board alone will be able to do. It's important for members, for the broader public, to assist in ensuring that these funds are safeguarded, because as has already been mentioned by one presenter, and which is something that we ourselves believe, the impact of the GEPF running into trouble is not something that's just going to affect members. It will affect even us, because then the taxpayer will have to foot that bill. On the other issues that have been raised, I'd like to express our appreciation for the inputs that have been made by the union representatives, and their contribution will be shared with our other colleagues, and we'll certainly consider these matters as we deliberate on the issues that we are seized with. I would also like to just reflect on some of the other questions that have been raised. We support the implementation of the strengthening of the PIC Act to give effect to the worker representation on the board. On the question of whether or not the PIC should be the exclusive asset manager for the GEPF, we believe that when considering this, or would like to request that when considering this, that the committee also consider what the implications are of having the PIC as an exclusive asset owner and not being owned by the GEPF. So that would that in our view would require that the committee also consider whether or not the PIC should then not be a fully owned subsidiary of the GEPF and not owned by some other entity. On the question of the chairing of the PIC, we would also like to request the committee, as it reflects on this, that it's not so much about who is chairing, you know, the person themselves. It is that in our experience, the fact that our asset manager, as an asset owner, we have an asset manager who is chaired by a deputy minister, does create confusion. And we feel that it actually undermines the checks and balances that should exist between the PIC and the GEPF. And this has nothing to do with the individuals. It simply has to do with what happens when you have a deputy minister in that position. Thank you, Chair.
PIC, Chair, Deputy Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I think the CEO can come in after me to add some stuff. I'll also start by just thanking the unions for their positive contribution and assure them that all of it was heard and sunk with us. I would just like to make a couple of comments. I think their contributions can be summed up into three: the issue of governance, relating to whether the deputy minister can be chairman of PIC, the representation of unions on the board, so that the unions and the workers can have a bigger say. I think that's a matter for this committee, for Parliament and the executive, who are simply as agents of both government and the GEPF. Oh, I'm not close enough. Oh, okay. Must I go back? Repeat?
No.
All right. And then there was the issue of us getting to the bottom of the origins of those emails, and I think also in that also the origins of the fears of the state capture. I think that needs to be attended to. I think my board must go back to that matter and deliberate and see how we can do it. Just to allay the fears, and there's clearly a strong sense of the unions and this parliament wanting guarantees about governance itself in the PIC, what measures and what, if you like, defense mechanisms do we have against potential or possibilities of state capture. To that, I think as a board, we'll make sure that we continuously focus on good governance and maybe transparent processes and of investment, implementing in investments. Of course, within the mandate, and I think the mandate should be more clear to the public what the mandate is from a GEPF, so that it's clear for everyone whether or not we are performing in accordance to that mandate and exceeding it, which I know we are. You earlier on heard that the PIC has been winning prizes, including the CEO himself, over the years for good governance, clean audits, clean audits over more than 15 years. Then there was the issue of the transformational elements, making sure that this fund works also for the contributors in it, for example, via the housing scheme, making sure that the people that find themselves in between, in the gap area, not poor enough for government direct assistance and too rich for commercial funding for housing. I think it was mentioned even by, acknowledged by even by some of the trade unions that there is fund as a home loans that is there. We just need to work and make sure we better fill that gap as the PIC within the mandate, I must emphasize, so that we still protect their money at the same time. With that, we also like to thank the committee and the chair for inviting us over. Dr. Dan?
I think on bailing out of state-owned entities, I think the members can rest assured that we will ensure that whatever we do is within mandate, and whatever assets that we put on the books of our clients meet the minimum criteria of investments.
We have Anthony Julius here from the UTDG in Treasury, right? Just to alert you that in this committee, if an official is here, unless the committee secretary tells us he or she is here, we don't know. Nothing stops you from putting in. I discovered by accident you're here. You want to explain to us how it has come to be that the current norm, not a legislative prescript, is that the DM of finance chairs. Just explain that and anything else you want to quickly say.
Thanks, Chair. No, I think, you know, the PIC seems as if it's been there all the time, but it's not always been the Public Investment Corporation. It has, in fact, been the Public Investment Commissioners. And at that point, you had the Regulation 28, which meant they were prescribed assets and essentially saying that the assets of Public Investment Commissioners should be invested in government assets. And that was now part of the reform process to then corporatize the Public Investment Commissioners to Public Investment Corporation. And so under the commissioners, it was heavily invested or heavily managed by government, and I'm just making it so it was essentially government managing the PIC in its earlier form. And so part of the reforms of the PIC to now become a public investment corporation is to allow less government involvement in the investment of the PIC. So this is an ongoing reform, because part of the reforms that is underway by the Interministerial Committee on SEC reform that's led by the Deputy President also deals with a lot of, not so much the PIC, but the state-owned companies with regards to the appointment of boards and having an appropriate framework, which has also now been approved in Cabinet, that there is a framework for the appointment of boards, of members to boards of state-owned companies, and the remuneration of management. That framework exists, and it has been approved. And also part of that reform process is the development of a shareholder bill for state-owned companies. And that is an ongoing, we're talking about a shareholder bill that deals with all state-owned companies and how we can then get to a better management, a shareholder arrangement for state-owned companies, and that is an ongoing reform that is underway under the leadership of the Interministerial Committee on SEC reforms. So I'll put it in that context, and so it's an ongoing reform, so nothing then stops the reform process itself to progress even further to having even less government involvement or government participation in the management of the PIC funds, but bearing in mind that it is a defined benefit and therefore the government has to play some role because it carries the risk of how the, you know, the extent to which the PIC performs.
Helpful in this sense, can I just, that we forget, of course you mentioned the defined benefit fund, so the government has a vested interest, right? Just for the clarity of this committee, would the PIC qualify as a state-owned entity?
It is a state-owned, it's a corporation, but it is part of our oversight responsibility that we perform.
A state-owned entity. All right, fine, if that's the case. All right, I just wanted to check. Then can I just seek some clarity also? That bill, by the way, am I not right? Alec Irwin first came to it when I was chairing Public Enterprises. That bill has been on the agenda since, where did Alec leave, in 2008? Well, shortly before he left, he told us he's about to bring the bill to us, right? So that's the same bill that hasn't come to Parliament 9 years later. Don't have to respond.
Well, that has also been a recommendation from the BEHA report on the SEC.
Yes, I know all that, right? Okay, fine. Okay, may I, Tandi?
Sure, it's for that reason. Now, I believe what I said earlier on, that let's apply our mind. And when I use the modest word.
Yeah, I agree.
Chair, I used the modest word when I said apply our mind. Actually, I meant let's consult.
Yeah.
That's what I meant, because we can take a decision here and can be kicked off somewhere else. And
I don't think that's what you want to do. So we don't want to tow with this matter. And Chair, PIC is a state-owned entity because it gets its funds from government. So I don't want us to discuss that. And the issue is not whether it is or not. The issue is what's the role of the shareholder in this context. And we look at the political engagement. Because whether we like it or not, trade unions got ideological orientation. What COSATU stands for, what Solidarity stands for, they are aligned to certain political ideologies and thinking. And I don't want to discuss that now because of the consultation that must happen behind the curtains on this matter. So I thought we said the final report on this specific one will come in our second meeting because we'll have had enough time for consultation.
You see, we had a long debate between what is a state-owned entity as distinct from a public entity, okay? So it's in that sense I'm asking the question. You understand, my brother Anthony? We had long discussions in 2007, and at that stage, Owen and them were arguing that they're two distinct, and that there is a public entity and a state-owned entity. In both cases, especially in the latter, public entity, sometimes the shareholder does have a direct say, sometimes you don't. All those debates presumably will surface in that boat, right? So I understand it's state entity, but whether it's a state-owned entity or a public entity, Anthony, is what I was asking. You're saying it is a state, it's an SOE, it's not a PE, right? No. There's a big difference, unless you've now conflated the two, which will surprise me, but who knows. Okay, Freud.
No, I think by and large we agree, Jefferson, on the issues, except on the ones that we have to go and seek a mandate on. But I think we agree on worker representation in the board, and to a great extent we agree on the PIC being the exclusive manager of the funds, and then the other issues of whether a minister or deputy minister should chair the PIC board, you can go and discuss that in the study group with the people who are chairing and tell them that they must not chair, and then they will possibly agree that they must let go of such a huge power, and then so that is one of the things. I don't think that we have got a challenge in terms of where we are now. But the unions should speak much more about this because this is their monies, and they should give direction. Even on the legislative changes, they should make substantial submissions to say this is how best the monies could be. Ourselves were just representatives of the people who will execute as well mandated. Sure.
Chair, maybe just a closing point. I mean, after four follow-ups, we've now got the chairperson of the Government Employees Pension Fund to finally tell us, and I quote, that there's a general concern in the country about state capture. It's still not clear to me whether she is concerned, whether the board is concerned, whether the trustees are concerned, and what it is, if indeed they are concerned, what they are doing about it. You can't dodge this question anymore. Answer the question.
Can I rule now on this because it's 5:15 and so on? I think for now your question has been reasonably answered, but if you want to put a further more precise question, you have up till next week Tuesday. We will send it to you. You can give it to us in writing, and you'll be back here in mid-November. Having said that, can I now round up? There's nothing for me to say much. Because I think in a way we've done it already collectively. There's some issues. Firstly, the request that you should be here tomorrow, that's your choice. If you're Cape Town-based people, you should be, but I don't think you should be. We'll send you a copy of the resolution. Right? It's not going to be a tight, fast one. It will be a short resolution, but it will mention that we will meet again in mid-November or before the end of November with a final date. So I don't know where Tandy got this date of 2nd of November, but presumably, or November, yeah, because we'll have to find a date after the MTBPS.
The third thing to say is that, you see, those union representatives here and federation who are praising us should suspend their praise. Because, you see, we can say what we want. The ultimate test is in the delivery. And what should we deliver? Well, either a bill from this committee or the executive, but a bill that addresses your concerns. And more importantly, an act that does so. In other words, we can pass a bill here, it'll go to the president, and then you have this issue, which is something I think it's fair. The Constitution needs to apply its mind. We've discussed this in this committee. I don't know whether the ANC has got a position, but as a chair, it seems to be reasonable, given the constitutional dispensation we have, that a president can only decide, in terms of the Constitution, whether to accept or reject a bill. But there's no provision there how long he or she can take. I think we must ask that this be done. I think we should, can you remind me, Tebo, I need to write to the chief whip of the party, that actually there is a need for a constitutional amendment. That a president in our, this is not the United States, there's no directly elected president here. It's an omission, actually, from the drafters of that constitution, that it must be maybe 3 months, right? Nothing stops a president. Now, because you get a litany of bills, Floyd, at the end of the year, and I don't think we should make it 1 month. We should say 3 months or whatever, right? Because end of the year you get hundreds of bills and then it's December and so on and whatever. So I honestly think that something has to be done about this. I'll speak to Comrade Matole. Who's going to remind me of that? Zuki, where are you? He's not here. Well, there's thousands of things one has to do in between meetings, and people will still ring me on the eve of a major march and make all sorts of accusations, which is a matter I need to address. And I'm going to discuss it with the colleague concerned and then issue a joint statement here. Because I don't think that should be covered. It's outrageous what was said about me. But let's not cover that here. Basically, what I'm saying is we need to address that issue. I also want to plead with people here. Of course, you'll see I'm being now soft here. But we need to win Treasury over also. You can pass a bill here. You can even get the president to sign within 1 week. Implementing it and our capacity to monitor, given the thousands of things we have to do. Who's going to be here a year and a half? I don't know. Right? So basically I'm saying just be careful about not unnecessarily being confrontational with the executive. Tandy, you and I know this. Many times we've completely overhauled bills. And then we find the officials who are unhappy with it in the first instance. Now the ministers keep changing, but the officials, they have ways of wriggling around. Ask me about the municipal systems bill and how much of it ever got implemented. And how many times we've all done before. And then the chair changed, and where are we today? So I think so. Then the next issue is, I'm just asking people to be careful about what we put in the resolution tomorrow. The next thing also is Jay Naidoo's letter. In fairness to him, I actually, because it came so late, I just browsed through it. I'm told now it's in Daily Maverick and all that. The issue is simple. I think he spoke to me, I found him yesterday, after a request to come here. And he has requested a hearing. Now, given that a bill is about to surface in some form or another, can I suggest that I write to him and say that, yes, you're free to come as a citizen and so on, but we are going to be having a bill sometime within the next 3 to 6 months, because you must remember that November onwards, for 6 weeks, Parliament doesn't sit. So we can say that within the next 6 months, we expect a bill here. We will start the process in November, and then see when we look at a bill and in what form. So that instead of having now another hearing, a public hearing on this issue, that we insert that into the process of the bill. Is that agreeable to the committee? Good. Then the next thing is, then I think we're done for now. The real test, colleagues from the trade unions and GEPF and PIC, is what do we do between here and 6 months from now? And then finally, I know Naptu's not here. I would like to say that the award, which is given every meeting by the powers decreed in the chair for best management of time, firstly goes to the chairperson. So we're finishing how many minutes early? We're finishing exactly 13 minutes early. So the chairperson wins the award, and a close runner-up is Naptu. And finally, ANC MPs, I want to inform you, because you ran, and Tandy in particular, and made it in time to vote there, you will get the double salary for today because you were here and you were in the house. So that is by the decree of the chairperson. Who says there's only one authoritarian politician in this country at the moment. Having said that, may I take the opportunity to thank everybody, in particular from my side to the chair, deputy chair of the PIC, for the grace in which you